much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And you can still enjoy it even if you're not a pretentious douche.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, Dina?
Are you high?
No.
Look at me with your bloodshot eyes and say that.
I want to do it because it's fun. Fun to do bad things.
What if we rape Kevin?
I don't think we are on the same page.
She's getting kind of weird. What is it with you guys?
I'm white! I'm entitled! There's a black man stealing my show!
Hello, welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns. My name is Zach Galifianakis, and my guest today is Bruce Willis. Did you know that some actors turn down roles?
And now.
I wear a lot of Axe body spray. But I live in a black neighborhood, and it's called Ask Body Spray. And if you don't get that joke, then you're not racist.
Our feature presentation.
How about that? Then you're not racist.
Zach...
Hey, Monkey. How are you, man?
Hey,
welcome
good.
Back.
Thanks.
Zach Galifianakis may be the funniest guy there is.
I agree.
You probably didn't see him on Saturday Night Live.
I did not.
It was another fairly below average Saturday Night Live, although some would argue average. He did host, and he is just electric when he's on the screen because he's so unpredictable because you just don't know what he's going to do. At the end of the show... after the final sketch, and then they go away for commercials, and then they come back, I don't know, a minute and a half later or something like that, and the host and the musical guest are on stage with everybody from the cast, and they're all waving, hey, thanks for, hope you had a great time, thanks, have a good weekend, we'll see you guys. In that minute and a half, he shaved his head into a mohawk, okay?
You on screen shaved it?
No, during the commercial break.
Okay, all right.
And the reason he did it, and this is why I love him so much, is so that he could say... Well, we had a great time tonight. I'm sorry we ran out of time for the Mr. T sketch. For that line, he shaved his head into a freaking mohawk for the 2 seconds of joy of being able to deliver that line. And I thought, that is a brave comedian right there that he would do that.
Well, here's the weird thing about him that I really like. He's bizarre. He's out there. And most of the time when guys that are bizarre and out there, that when they make it in Hollywood, basically Hollywood reshapes them into... no rough edges, and they're not quite as bizarre as they used to be.
Absolutely.
But he's managed to stay bizarre and weird and offbeat through everything he's done. That's amazing.
Even though he has, you know, they've plugged him into some mainstream movies like D-Date, for instance, but he still does manage to keep that edge and be so unpredictable. I love him so much. Here's one more line from Zach.
I'll never forget what my grandmother said right before... she passed away, what she said to me right before she passed away. She said, what are you doing?
Now that is just... that's just a phenomenal joke, right?
Yes. What are you doing?
What are you doing? It just brings up so many questions as to what he could be talking about there.
Oh, you know what he's talking about there, and it's not good.
I hope that's not what he's talking about. I hope he's talking about unplugging something, not plugging something in, which is what I think you're suggesting.
That's what I'm suggesting he was suggesting.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
It is Monday, unfortunately, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Real quick, before we tell you about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, I do love this story. And you tell me if you're excited about this. This reminds me so much of that movie that got nominated for those Oscars, The Kids Are All Right, about the lesbians who have the kids who want to find out who their father is. And Mark Ruffalo's character gets a call out of the blue that says, hey, I'm your kid, right?
That's a great movie if you haven't seen it.
This is what happened in New York. A very successful restaurateur in New York. He has 8 restaurants open in New York and 2 more coming. I mean, the guy's very successful. He and his sister were put up for adoption when they were very, very young. And his sister decided she wanted to track down dad, went to the adoption agency. Dad was open to hearing from them. So they got in contact with dad. So this guy finds out in a phone call from his sister, hey, I called our father because they were brother and a sister who were adopted away together. And he's Ted Nugent.
What?
Our dad is Ted Mother Effing Nugent.
Now, this is a rock singer from the 70s who has since gone on to be crazy.
You don't want, I wouldn't want him to be
my
dad.
I would love that.
To be honest.
That would be so great.
He'd make you hunt and kill your own food.
He's crazy.
He's crazy, but I think in a good way. I mean, he's ultra conservative, but he's very, very smart, and he's the kind of guy who backs up his beliefs with some reasonable arguments.
He walks around with a bow and arrow. That's all you need to know.
He does. I mean, obviously, it's tough for me to get behind a guy who goes out and kills everything that moves. In fact, that's the first thing he said when his sister said, "Hey, our dad is Ted Nugent." He said, "The guy who kills everything."
I like that he's known for that now and not his
first thing in my head.
1970s. What is it, early 1970s?
Yeah, I mean, he had a pretty long career in the 60s, 70s, but many people today only know Ted Nugent from just being the crazy guy who kills everything. Right. They didn't even realize that he used to be a rock star, right? But they hooked up on the phone and then got together in person within an hour of knowing him. Oh. Ted said to his newly found son, "Hey, let's go shoot some guns, son."
Love it.
And apparently they're going hunting later this month, so I guess he's happy about it, and it seems like there's pictures all over them of them having a barbecue at Ted's house, and it looks like everybody's happy family. And Ted, he had told his other kids that he had put those two up for adoption. It didn't come as a big surprise to them that they had other siblings. They always knew they were out there. But I wonder if you're in this guy's shoes and you find out your dad is Ted Nugent, is that a win or is that a lose?
A huge win. I love crazy, first of all. Second of all, he takes me shooting first thing. Yeah. I don't like to kill animals, but I mean, he's crazy and he loves guns.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
If I go hunting, I'll just miss. And he'll go, "What's wrong with your aim?"
He does make it interesting for the holidays.
Oh,
that's for sure.
That's great. That's best case scenario.
Hilarious, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You look at that and you go, "Oh, you don't want to know what your dad, who your dad is." And then, "What? Really? That's fantastic. That's the best outcome that you could possibly hope for."
At least you know he's got cash, right?
I don't know.
This guy fortunately doesn't need it. You know, this restaurateur obviously is very, very successful on his own.
Right. I don't know. Do you think the Nuge has cash?
I think the Nuge is doing okay. I mean, he is still out there. He's still out there touring.
But he shoots people in the audience. And I think that
just paying off the lawsuits alone cuts into the profit.
Brings down his take. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I think everybody's going to vote for that.
Okay, good. Vote for that? Yes. Let's talk about Celebrity Apprentice last night.
Yes.
Can't wait for that recap. I didn't forget to record it, but I didn't have it as one of my top two choices, so I didn't see it last night.
Yeah.
It's killing me.
One of the funniest things that's ever happened on Celebrity Apprentice happened last
night.
So you'll enjoy hearing about that.
I will. Simon Cowell on the program today.
Talking
about how you can audition to be on The X Factor.
Cool.
I read The X Factor over last week while I was on vacation, by the way. That's
it's a different kind of X.
Didn't think
it was
out yet.
It's out. Oh, yeah, it's out. You dodged a bullet. I don't know what this is about, Bean.
Omar.
Literally dodged a bullet?
No. Oh. Omar and his beautiful bride, Cassie, were scheduled to fly on vacation to Tokyo, Japan on Friday.
Oh.
And through circumstances he will describe, they did not make it.
Was he in the plane on the way? And they said, "You know what? We're turning around."
No, but it got us thinking about other situations where you've been in the right place at the right time. You know, like our friend Seth MacFarlane, who missed his plane on 9/11 and would have gone down, you know, with that flight from Boston. And we thought it might be a Muggs, for instance, who, through unusual circumstances, was not in the bank when it got robbed as he was planning on being. Oh. I mean,
I don't know what Muggs told you, but he was robbing the bank.
lots of people have, their plans have changed and it has turned out to be for the better. They don't necessarily know it at the time. Like Omar was very disappointed that Japan didn't work out. This is a vacation he's been talking about for years.
Of course. I've always wanted to go there.
And thank God he didn't.
Always until last week.
Right. So that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be taking your calls on You Dodged a Bullet, figuratively.
Plus, there's a Donald Trump roast tomorrow night on Comedy Central. And it looks like it's going to be great. Jeffrey Ross, the Roastmaster General, we're going to talk to today. We have comedian Bobcat Goldthwait on the program.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ, get an update on the celebrities. And we're going to talk to Twitch Stenberg on the program today about his TV show, The X Life. A lot of X on today's program. So that's coming up as well. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat, and that is next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:48.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman. How was your weekend, man?
Oh, God.
Is that good or bad?
It was good.
Okay.
Good. You were partying with, and by partying I mean working the podcast Saturday night with John Lovitz, comedy legend Lovitz. John Lovitz. How was that?
That's right. We worked together. He is still one of the funniest people I've ever met.
I've heard
in
that.
In a room, having a conversation with him, you will laugh hard out loud. Just in a conversation with the guy.
Why? So does he not have a comedy career because he chooses not to?
Yeah,
he doesn't want to do it?
He's doing a lot of stand-up now. That's what he kind of enjoys doing. And I'll tell you something. Saturday night, we did the Hollywood Babylon together, and it was one of the funniest episodes ever.
Wow.
He is just really, really entertaining. Hmm. He would love to come in and meet you guys, but he says you
nope.
won't have him on. So I said, I'm going to work on you. I'm going to work on you, see if I can get him in. Why won't they have me on this show? I'm a nice guy.
He is a nice guy, but it really has been a while since he's been in public consciousness as far as...
Well, he had a new movie came out this year with Kevin Spacey called Casino Jack. And he got a lot of critical acclaim for that performance. And he's doing a lot of stand-up dates. And he's just... Huh. And he owns the comedy club up at Universal. He's really enjoying his life right
now. Are you going to do it with him again? Maybe we could bring him in then?
Maybe okay. in April sometime. But this week, Friday night, we're doing... Kevin's coming back. Kevin Smith's coming back. And then the following week, on Saturday night, Adam Carolla is going to be the special guest co-host. So
how are you going to get him to talk?
Got a lot going on. Yeah, I know. I can just sit back, go get a beer, come back about an hour later. It'll be the easiest gig ever. So it was a good weekend. Had a lot of fun.
Excellent.
I would like to give away some passes before I get into the showbiz news. How would you like to go see Sucker Punch?
Wait, what's that?
Sucker Punch is the new movie by Zack Snyder, who brought you 300
and
The Watchmen.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can't get a beat
all those
on that.
Hot
from the...
chicks in it, like fighting ninjas and whatnot.
All I see is the billboard. I haven't seen a trailer for it. And the billboards, you look at it and you go, I have no idea what that's about.
Emily Browning, Jenna Maloney, Vanessa Hudgens, Abby Cornish.
Ooh.
Just a bunch of smoking hot girls who are locked away in a mental asylum and they have to fight imaginary villains in order to free themselves.
All right. Pillow fight?
That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
Whatever it takes.
I sort of have a boner.
If you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere of Sucker Punch at the Grauman's Chinese Theater, the legendary theater in Hollywood, it all happens on Wednesday, March 23rd. I've got three pairs of passes right now. 1-800-520-1067. Three pairs of passes if you're the first lucky three callers. Get through and see Sucker Punch. I can't wait. I'm a big Zack Snyder fan. I think his movies are always... visually amazing and very entertaining. So, there you go. Speaking of movies, it's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Battle Los Angeles, number one in its debut weekend, $36 million. Made it number one. Then Rango came in at number two. Oh, Kevin, you may have missed the best. Would you like to take that back moment ever last
week?
Oh,
fantastic.
Week? Yeah, maybe we'll play that for
you. Is it in the file or did you already go through it?
I believe it is in the file.
Right.
Oh, I think we did go through it, didn't we, Bean?
Oh,
we did.
Yeah.
Was it Bean?
Yeah,
it was Bean.
He said, wait, why is there a Rango movie and there's no McCartney movie?
Yay!
See, because...
because Ringo, of course, was the drummer for the Beatles.
I find that mildly funny.
Did I take it back or not? I
hate
to
disappoint you, Ralph.
You didn't take it back. I don't
think. I didn't take that one back.
Red Riding Hood was third with $14 million. Then The Adjustment Bureau and Mars Needs Moms rounding out the top five. Hall Pass, Beastly, Just Go With It, The King's Speech, and Romeo and Juliet are the rest of the top 10. Charlie Sheen, once again, the big story this morning, announced last week his two-city mini tour for his live one-man show. Kevin, of course, his show, Charlie Sheen Live, My Violent Torpedo of Truth.
Was this in the news?
It was. He put tickets on sale for two dates, Detroit and Chicago. And
if you're just going to play two, though, those are the two, right?
I guess. Anyway, he sold his tickets out Friday in just 18 minutes. Two shows sold out.
I think it's just straight out bitching.
But what is he going to do when he walks out on stage? Just smoke and rant?
Yes. Yes. That's what he's going to do. And I think the people who paid $87 for those tickets at the end of the night are going to say, what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah. I think I'm so tired of hearing from him, and I know what he's going to say.
But, you know...
I mean, has he changed?
In their defense, it's hard to get Charlie. You can't hear him on the radio or see him on television or the internet or whatever. So, I mean, sometimes you got to see an artist live in order to get his message.
My success rate is 100%. Do the math.
Yeah.
He's making it sound like it's going to be a show. You know, there are going to be surprises. There are going to be special guests. But none of that has been announced as to what those things would be. So I just picture him just coming out and standing on a stage and yelling at people.
But he said Sheen's Corner was going to be a show, too. Remember his Ustream show was going to be a TV show. And it was him. Sometimes on the phone.
No thanks.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass.
Us too, Charlie. If you get a email, by the way, that says Charlie Sheen is dead, don't click on it. If you get a Facebook says, oh, here's the story, click on this link.
Don't click on
Don't click on that. Apparently, it's
Our prayers have not been answered.
It is a virus that has been spreading through Facebook and other social networking sites, so you want to avoid that. Jack Black's a cool dude. I don't know if you guys heard or not, but the high school in his mom's hometown of Tonasket, Washington, really wanted to march in a parade at Disneyland, but couldn't afford the travel expenses through their fundraising, and he heard about it. He stepped up and paid the entire $10,000 bill so they could all go to Disneyland and perform.
Boom.
Then he showed up with his kids and watched them perform.
How about that?
So that was kind of cool of him to do.
Was it a marching band, did you say?
It was, yeah, Kevin, yes. You love marching bands.
Marching bands are the worst form of music possible.
It's your favorite kind of music.
Oh.
Steven Soderbergh, the director, is retiring. That's sad news. He makes good
he's
movies.
Really good.
Is he joining Kevin Smith on the couch of former directors?
No, he said that he has lost his passion for making movies.
Aww.
He's got two more films in the pipeline, and once those two are completed, he will be finished.
Hmm.
He says if he has to get in one more van to scout one more location, he's going to shoot himself.
Hopefully it's one of those things where he'll get a break for a couple of years, and then he'll get the fever again.
The two movies he's got left to make, the story, life story of Liberace, with Michael Douglas starring as Liberace, and then a remake of the legendary spy TV series The Man from U.N.C.L.E. with George Clooney as Napoleon Solo.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow. Those are the two movies he's got left.
Why won't Michael Bay retire when guys like Steven Soderbergh and Kevin Smith are hanging it up?
Oh, good question. Is anybody happier about Charlie Sheen than Mel Gibson?
No.
I don't know if you realized or not, but he was in court on Friday.
Didn't.
For this battery charge against his ex-girlfriend for beating her up. No one even noticed. No one batted an eye. He got in there and pled no contest. In return, he received 36 weeks probation, 52 weeks of counseling, 16 hours of community service, and no violence. He can't use violence against anyone.
What?
Or he violates his probation.
Isn't that how the rules should always be?
I guess so, really.
Aren't we all under those rules?
You really should, but him especially.
Huh.
And Oksana retains the right to be able to record all of their phone calls together. All the phone calls involved in raising their child. So maybe there might be some more more entertainment in the future. Spider-Man, turn off the dark. Well, they're trying to turn off the lights, at least for a month.
To turn off the lights?
They've canceled all the shows from April 19th through May 11th. Because they are completely retooling the Broadway musical. The director has been fired.
Oh, wow. I thought the director had all these, was a great director.
Julie Taymor was a very successful director. Right. She did Lion King and a bunch of other hits, but they finally had an ass full and they said, we're going to go in a different direction.
Wow.
They're getting a new script.
One where we can open and sell tickets.
Not kill people. So June 14th, it's been announced now, will be the new opening night. Yeah, right. Not now, not never.
I wonder how much they've sunk into that to this point. Isn't it just...
It was $65 million before they even did one performance. Wow. So I don't know what's going on now. But. And Foo Fighters are releasing their new album, Wasting Light. And just days after that comes out, they're also going to release a LP of... Not an LP, but a CD of all covers.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's to honor 2011 Record Store Day. I didn't know there was such a holiday.
Yeah, but it's been about 5 years now they've been doing it.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
The album will cover such songs as Pink Floyd's Have a Cigar, Paul McCartney's Band on the Run, Cream's I Feel Free, and it's called Medium Rare. Foo's doing covers of other people's music.
Not interested.
Oh, come on. It's going to be vinyl only, by the way.
Yeah, oh, white vinyl they're coming out with.
Yeah. And it'll be only available at independently owned record stores. On April the 17th, you can get it.
And they're not going to put up a sign. You have to just dig through that.
That's right. And you have to say, I saw the entire first season of Friday Night Lights. And then know the secret handshake.
And get it out of a van.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael Caine. Michael Caine. He is 78 years old today. Quincy Jones is also 78. Billy Crystal, the comedian, is 63. Actress Grace Park is 37 years old. Actor Chris Klein is 32. And Michael Bland, drummer for Soul Asylum, turns 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
One of the richest people we've ever had on our show, Simon Cowell, joins us again, coming up in about a half an hour or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and a recap of last night's Celebrity Apprentice straight ahead. First, though, time for Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Got a couple of real good ones for you today. First of all, a shout out in case you're listening. Windsor High School, Sonoma County in the Bay Area in the news last week. Kevin, I don't know if you saw this story in your news blackout when you're on vacation.
I saw no stories.
This is a field trip of 45 students and two teachers from that school who are walking across the Golden Gate Bridge when a couple of the kids try to get in a dare situation with another student and try to urge him to jump off the bridge.
Oh, isn't that how people try to kill themselves a lot?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it is the most popular suicide location in the United States.
All right.
So he does jump off the Golden Gate Bridge into the water, and surfers come and rescue him and help him to shore where he walks away from it. He is later admitted to the hospital with some injuries, including a bruised tailbone and a torn lung. He is otherwise fine. His troubles may now just be beginning, though, because the CHP in Marin County says they're thinking about charging him with trespassing for climbing up on the bridge and jumping off of it.
Do you know how much he won? Was it $5?
It doesn't say. There were students who were tweeting about the jump as it was happening, by the way, on the field trip. I don't know. I just think if one of your classmates is taking a dive off the Golden Gate Bridge, I'm a little too upset, a little too concerned.
No, are you crazy?
To start tweeting about it.
No, they dared him to.
But does this kid have the story of all time to tell at parties for the rest of his life? Yeah, I got dared to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge and did.
Really? How much you make? $1.
In a way, it's almost funnier if it were $1.
Oh, man, yes.
Here's an awesome story about a 83-year-old Walmart greeter. A guy who loved his job. Neighbors say he was a nice man, really sweet. I can't imagine what he did. Well, what he did was Sunday night, he took his break as a Walmart greeter. He went out to his car, got a gun, put on a bandana, then came back into the store and tried to rob the place.
Still dressed the same as he was for work?
Yep, all same right. guy. Good. Of course, everybody recognized him.
Hey, Bill.
He put a gun to the head of an employee, took money from the register. As he was leaving the store, he fired a shot in the air and went home.
Woohoo!
So police showed up and arrested him, and he's in jail on $80,000 a month. I don't know. Just as a tip, maybe don't rob your own store.
Go to another Walmart, maybe?
I think so. But it's crazy. I mean, apparently he loved his job, had been working there for a long time. Like, what makes a guy snap and decide, hey, I'm going to rob this place? Just too much time standing in the front door with nothing to do, I guess. Your brain starts working overtime. Hey, how can I make some money out of this?
Maybe, but maybe he had the financial trouble as well, but I can't imagine you'd get enough to make that. I mean, was it a series maybe? He was planning on doing once a week or something?
I don't know, but it did not work out very well.
Every other Friday on payday?
Here's a story out of the craziest state in the union. Of course, I'm talking about Florida. Police responded to a woman who was drunk, naked, throwing rocks at people and calling them names in Naples, Florida around 8 o'clock this past Saturday night. When police arrived, they found Tina Matista, 46 years old, sitting on a dock near her home with a blanket wrapped around her.
Good.
She then turned to the deputies, took off the blanket, and exposed herself to them, which sounds great until you see the mugshot.
Oh, no.
She also had taken some of her teeth out and thrown them into the canal.
Oh.
She kept picking at her teeth and asked if we had pliers, the deputy said.
Oh.
I think we may be talking about a meth situation here. If your teeth are starting to annoy you to the point where you need to start pulling them out and throwing them into the water.
Wow.
She cursed at three passersby. She threw rocks at the men. She pulled her clothes off. She threatened to beat the men up. Then she tried to break a light and a wooden fence. Here's the most surprising part of the story for me. She smelled of alcohol.
Really? What a surprise.
She was charged with disorderly intoxication.
It's never the hot chicks. It's always that woman that takes off her clothes.
Yep. Just like the one we talked about a few weeks ago who was in that auto accident and got out of the car completely naked. Then you see the video and you go, oh, please put it back on.
I was excited about that, but let's cover that up.
And finally, one of the strangest 911 calls ever. Police received two 911 calls almost at the same time last week in a Portland, Oregon suburb. One was a woman saying, hey, I just got home. Somebody is in my house. I've got a burglar. Somebody's broken into my house.
That's frightening.
The other call was from the burglar, the guy who was in the house. He heard the homeowner come home, heard that she had dogs with her, and was terrified that he was somehow going to get injured. So he called the 911 to say, hey, I'm breaking into a house. Come help.
What?
We actually do have the audio, believe it or not, from this Oregon report. Listen up. Here's the guy who went into the bathroom, closed and locked the door in case the homeowner who was arriving home to find him robbing her house might have had a gun.
911. I just broke into a house and the owner came home.
You broke into a house?
Yeah.
See? The operator didn't believe it either. 25-year-old Timothy Chapeth allegedly broke in to take a shower. When he heard the owner come home, he got scared.
Hey, he was just trying to take a shower. We should encourage that. Right?
Right. And yes, called 911.
They can hear me.
In the middle of his 911 call, you can hear owner Hillary McKenzie confront him.
I'm sorry. My name is Timothy Chapeth. We broke in.
Wait, so she's on with 911 and we can hear her interviewing him?
Yeah, she's talking to the guy. It sounds like they're both on with 911 because I've heard her side of the call, too, where she's like, yeah, I've got this guy in the bathroom. What should I do? Please send please.
I've already called him. They're on the phone right now.
She did call the dispatcher, and they both couldn't help but laugh.
He was in the bathroom, and the door shut. And he says he's in there, and I said, who the hell are you?
Okay. Did he sound like he was high or drunk?
He's obviously nuts.
Yeah.
Wow. She's out with both guys.
She sounds like she's high or drunk, by the way, the homeowner, more than the guy who broke into the house sounds fine to me. Anyway, you don't see that one very often, and that is the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Brand new Foo Fighters on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Don't forget World Tour 2011. Destination number 8 is Mumford & Sons in London's Hyde Park.
Oh, you're so there. You and your banjo.
Keep listening to score tickets to Railroad Revival Tour on April 22nd in San Pedro. A limited edition signed lithograph and get on the standby boarding list. Go to KROQ.com for details. It is 22 after 6.
All right. Simon Cowell joins us in moments here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, give me some of that music, beer mugs. Celebrity Apprentice with the best cast ever was back for episode number 2 last night. The great Donald Trump joins us sometimes on Mondays to recap the episode. How are you, Donald?
The greatest second episode to a TV series ever in the history of a show that has had multiple seasons based upon celebrity involved in business propositions.
That could be accurate, actually.
Thank you. Yes.
He may actually be right this time. Well, the show starts last night with you're out in front of Madison Square Garden with the teams. You got the men and the women. And somebody named Eric Trump is giving them the task. Let's listen to a little of that. Then I want you to tell me who the hell Eric is.
You'll be creating and writing a children's book. You're going to develop your characters and you're going to write the story. Now here's the fun part. The story is going to be based on at least one member of your team and ultimately performed in front of a whole audience full of children.
Is this another kid of yours? This is Don Jr.'s brother, Donald?
Yes, Eric is a child I had with a whore.
Wow.
Okay.
And I originally put him up for adoption, and turns out that Ted Nugent is his actual father.
Wow, what a
I'm
surprise
not sure how
that
it
was.
All worked out, but.
None of your kids were blessed with chins either, which is kind of unfortunate.
Well, it turns out the Trump family learned years ago that chins were actually not aerodynamic.
Is that right?
Oh,
it
I
keeps
see.
You from reaching the top, so
I
we
see.
Had them all surgically removed.
Oh, wow.
I see. Okay.
Now our heads
right.
are streamlined.
Now, how many of these kids are you going to bring onto the show? Are we done now, or do you have more?
Listen, my kids cannot get their own jobs. I have to find someone to give them a paycheck.
Okay, all right.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, so you heard the task. It's a children's book. So here we are in the guys' camp, and Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray and the great Gary Busey are getting together and trying to figure out an idea for a story. And I could listen to Gary all day.
And what about Little John as a superhero?
That's good. That's good. God bless Mark McGrath. He's the hood ornament on your car of creation.
What is he talking?
Yes.
What
is he talking about? God bless Farmer Brown?
Mark McGrath.
Oh, Mark.
Mark McGrath is the hood ornament on the car of creation.
Wow.
Yes, he is.
It's the part that really kills you when you get hit by it.
He doesn't right. make, does he make any sense at all during the show, Donald?
How do you not understand what that means?
Well, it's weird.
And then Mark goes on to tell me something I guess I didn't realize about rapper Lil Jon.
He has three giant catchphrases. Yeah, okay. Real simple, using what's inherently cool to him, those phrases that America knows him by.
So he's the guy responsible for yeah and okay?
Yep.
Those are his catchphrases?
He trademarked that years ago.
I didn't realize
that. Every time you say yeah or okay, he gets a nickel.
Wow, who knew?
I didn't know that. Jose Canseco is on the men's team, and he's always offended that everybody thinks, you know, that he's dumb. He's trying to make some contributions to the story, and no one cares what he thinks because, frankly, he's dumb.
I think a lot of people think I'm not creative because I was a professional athlete my whole life. But I don't think people realize that I wrote 2 books and one was the number one bestseller. That kind of pissed me off.
How much did he have to do with writing those books, Donald? Seriously.
Well, he did learn how to spell Balco.
Yeah, that did come through. You're right about that. Over to the ladies' team. They decide that they're going to do a story about a lion. And here is, who's the playmate of the year that you have? The super hot playmate of the year who rarely talks as a contestant this year, Donald?
Heather Dorodczyk.
Yeah. Oh, she's a good deal.
Have you nailed
she's
that?
A good deal.
Twice.
Yeah, you need to be marrying that is what you need to be doing. You need to be trading up here. Anyway, she and Star Jones are coming up with some ideas, and Lisa Rinna a little bit too excited about their ideas for a kid's book.
What is the lion's problem in a sentence?
Maybe the lion cannot roar.
Yes! Okay, then I got a title for you.
Tell me.
Why can't I roar?
Yes! I love it! I have chills! I have chills!
Genius!
Oh my chills. God.
Star Jones is the tailpipe on the car of creation.
I think that's true. I thought Lisa Rinna was going to orgasm during that meeting.
Lisa
I don't know what
Rinna
was going
is
on
the
there.
Hubcaps.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, they make the plays, they get their books written and published, and they put their play together, and then they perform it. And here's just a taste of both plays from both teams. First, the ladies.
Chucky the chicken, what if they don't like me? I can't tell you how to roar because I cluck.
The chicken was out of control. I love the chicken. The children, you know, they love me. They were like, the chicken, and I was...
That Nene sure likes Nene, doesn't she,
Donald?
That
was her talking about her?
She loved her performance as Clucky the Chicken.
Wow. She did. And then, of course, Little John is in the men's performance, so naturally they got a rap.
Children, sing along! I know my ABCs!
So that happened right there. Believe it or not, the men win the challenge. The women go into the boardroom, and somebody's going to get fired. And two very funny things happen in the boardroom when you were in there with the ladies. First of all, it was so random. Lisa Rinna was fighting for her life as the project manager there.
Yes.
I got the impression, Donald, that you weren't listening to anything she had to say. You were just checking out how hot she is. And here's what you had to say about that.
And by the way, I like Lisa's lips much better now than I liked them a year ago. Does that make sense? You did something. There's a little reduction there, right?
Thank you.
You are so much more beautiful.
Oh, you're going to make me cry. Thank you.
No, you are so... I think it looks fantastic. And you know, it's amazing. I see guys with tattoos. Some of you have tattoos. What the f*** do they do it for? And I see women. I walk into rooms, the most important women you can imagine, and they have lips pumped up like balloons. And I say, what the f***?
Hey, Donald, are you supposed to be talking about the business and how they did? And
What's going on?
Aren't you supposed to be judging the quality of their work, that play they did for kids?
I think there was a gas leak in the boardroom. I was a little woozy.
It did sound like you were pretty much just hitting on Lisa Rinna is all you were doing.
Oh, she's got the DSL I'd like to install in my office. You know what I'm saying?
I do understand, yes.
You know what I'm saying, DSL?
Yep. Yeah, we got it.
A little less than before.
Yeah.
And then one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen on The Celebrity Apprentice, they're going around the room, the ladies are, and everybody's pointing fingers and placing blame who you're going to fire. And it turns out that Marlee Matlin doesn't care for Dionne Warwick. And we find out a little bit of why here.
Marlee Matlin, Academy Award winner. Who would you fire?
I would fire Dionne.
You would fire Dionne?
Yes.
And Dionne because of the theme?
No, not because of the theme. She intimidates me as a person. She has a very strong personality. She's very blunt. People tell me she's a legend, and I respect that. But I just don't.
What do you mean people tell you? You don't know that she's a legend? She is
a legend. Well, I'm Jeff.
Now, see, Donald, you understand she's never really heard of Dionne Warwick.
Why didn't she listen to her music?
That's hilarious.
Well, why hasn't she heard?
She's deaf, Donald.
Do You Know the Way to San Jose? One of my favorite songs.
Right, but she can't hear. You understand that she
that
only
is no
could
excuse.
So all she gets is Dionne Warwick's personality.
She's not head in business. She allows herself to be held back.
You did not fire her, did you?
She's read about Dionne Warwick. She's never actually heard her music. That was the point of that exchange. And you sounded so surprised to hear that, Donald.
I think she's weak, and I think she really has fallen behind. So, she's got to pick up some CDs.
Lisa Rinna goes into the boardroom for the final firing, along with Star Jones and Dionne Warwick, and here's what ended up happening.
Look, Lisa, you're the project manager. Your team lost. We're dealing with two very, very smart, competent women.
Everybody felt you should go, and as project manager, I have to say, Lisa, you're fired.
That is no way to hit on a woman that you want to sleep with, Donald.
Maybe it is.
She had a chance to save her job. She did not take it.
Now that she's not on the show, does she have another role?
No, I gave her the hint that if she wanted to stay on the show, maybe she would put those new lips to work. She did not pick up on it, and so I had to fire her because I'm scared of black people, and the other two women are black.
All right. Talk to you next week, Donald.
Okay.
The Roastmaster General, our friend Jeffrey Ross, joins us next hour on the Kevin Bean Show. Speaking of Donald Trump, as we were a moment ago, Comedy Central has his roast airing tomorrow night, and Jeff Ross always presides over that, so we'll talk to him. Our friend Bobcat Goldthwaite on the program today, and Kevin, your friend The Twitch,
yep,
with his new show The X-Life is going to be joining us. Hey, real quick, because I see Simon Cowell is not on the phone yet. I was raving earlier about Zach Galifianakis on SNL over the weekend. Right. Not a great SNL, but everything he was in was so watchable because he's so funny. And I thought his monologue was tremendous. Here's a little more Zach as we wait for Simon Cowell to join us here on the Kevin Bean Show.
The show has a lot of characters in it. I've been doing a lot of characters and over the years, and I'd like to showcase a few characters I've been working on. This first character is called the Redneck, who orders things at a convenience store, very masculine-like, but cannot order one of the products very masculinely.
All right, you get the setup. He's a redneck. He's at a convenience store, and he orders things masculine-like, except for one item he cannot order in a masculine way.
That's a tough character to pitch.
Right.
Yeah, can I get some beef jerky, some Copenhagen, a foot-long corn dog, and some Skittles.
And what is going on in his mind that's the bit, that's the character he comes up with?
I don't know. That's really odd.
All right, here's some more Zach working out his characters in front of the SNL audience.
This next character is called the guy from Queens who's obsessed with cargo shorts. Here we go. The guy from Queens, New York, who's obsessed with cargo shorts. What are those, cargo shorts?
And that's it. That's cool. I just,
what are those cargo shorts?
That's the bit, yeah. I just want him to open every SNL. And he's got one more character he wanted to work out.
His next character is called the worst bragger in the world. So, yeah, it was a French kissing my brother last night.
Man.
And then at the end, he said, okay, now the jokes are over. And I know that you know, it's a stressful world that we live in, and there's nothing but bad news going on. But at least there's always tomorrow. And then he whips off all of the clothes that he's wearing, and he's wearing a dress. Lisa, you'll love this. Yeah. He's dressed up like Little Orphan Annie from the Broadway play. Oh. Little Orphan Annie, the little red dress with, by the way, pink undies underneath. And he starts lip syncing to Tomorrow. And he does the whole song Tomorrow.
The whole thing.
What's happening? Is he on LSD? Is
I don't know. On acid? I don't know what he's on, but I want you to deliver a case of it to my home.
I want a lot of it as well.
Because he's just fantastic. So.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. Right. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
Right.
But when my sister brought Doug home, I knew he was one of my own. And my wolf pack, it grew by one. So were there two of us? There were two of us in the wolf pack. I was alone first in the pack, and then Doug joined in later. And now I know for sure I just added two more guys to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together in Las Vegas looking for strippers and cocaine.
He's in Hangover 2, right?
Yes, he is.
Oh, that's the movie that I cannot stop watching if I come
across it. Well, The Hangover's your favorite movie of all time, you said, right?
If I come across it, no matter where it is in the movie, I have to finish watching it.
Yeah,
it's my favorite movie of all time. So, and Hangover 2 is on the way, so I'm very excited about that.
I can't believe you're not already in line with it.
I know.
All right. We apparently are getting word that they are kicking him off of another conversation. We will have Simon Cowell in a moment. The X Factor is not debuting until fall 2011 on Fox. But the reason we'll be talking to Simon is because he's got an opportunity for you to be a contestant on the show. Auditions are going to be happening at the Los Angeles Sports Arena, downtown L.A. This is the only West Coast audition that I'm aware of, and it's going to be coming up soon on Sunday, March 27th. Got to be at least 12 years of age. You got to bring your parents if you're under 18. And then they're going to be auditioning people looking for the next big star on The X Factor, which is a show we've been hearing about for years from its success in Britain, now coming to the United States in fall 2011. It's been a long time since we've had Mr. Simon Cowell on The Kevin Bean Show, but it's always a thrill to welcome him back. Hey, Simon, thanks for joining us, man.
What a very nice introduction.
Well, I'm just saying it's great to talk to you again, and I'm telling you something else. As good as American Idol has been this year, and I know you've been a fan as well, you are missed, my friend. You are missed on my television set.
Well, I hope so. I mean, it would be like being at a dinner party for years, and then you don't turn up, and everyone says, you know what, we didn't miss you.
That would suck. Everybody's like, wait a minute, you're off the show? You're not doing it?
No.
That would suck, right?
The X Factor is coming to the United States, and we're not sure why, because the impression we get on most channels most nights is there's too many goddamn talent shows. But apparently...
By the way, I would agree with that.
Okay. You would agree with that. It's every time we turn on, there's somebody either trying to juggle or somebody trying to lose weight or somebody trying to yodel. I don't even know what the hell's going on most of these channels anymore. But tell us why the X Factor is needed in this country as well, Simon.
Well, I would say this because it's my show, but I'm going to say it. I think it's the best out of all of them. In fact, it is the best out of all of them. You know, I did it for 7 years in London, and I was doing American Idol at the same time. Mm-hmm. But X Factor, you'll see when it comes back on, it's a lot more wacky. It's a lot more extreme. And I think for me as a record label, I'm hoping that we've got a great chance of finding a star at the end of it.
I'll tell you, that is one of the shocking things about American Idol is somebody can go all the way through the season, be everyone's favorite, have a great singing voice, and then just go away. And it obviously doesn't happen with everybody, but...
It does happen. I mean, you know, you try and strike gold. One year on X Factor in England, we found this girl called Leona Lewis, who was phenomenal.
Right.
And she went on to sell 20 million records.
Sure.
So I'm hoping that the same thing's going to happen in America, which is why I've widened out the age band so clearly.
All right, how has it changed from American Idol?
Well, it starts, you could be 12 years old to begin with, as you said, you know, on the announcement. We took the upper age limit off completely because I don't think that you should put an age limit on these shows. Because I think there's talented people out there in their 30s and 40s or whatever. And secondly, you get more interesting auditions when they come along because they've got more life experience. I continually had audition after audition where these 17-year-olds used to come in and say, you know, I've worked for this all my life.
Right.
And I've gone, well, what have you done?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Why don't you come back in 30 years and tell me about what you've done all your life?
Well, you know, look, if you're super talented, you know, and there are talented people out there, great. But I like the fact they can also compete with somebody who's had a bit more life experience.
Sure.
Plus, on this show, if you're in a vocal group, you can enter the show as well.
Oh, that's
interesting. Right now, the only vocal group who are really sending any records at the moment are Glee.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it is interesting, and I believe you've mentioned this in other interviews. This is the voice of Simon Cowell on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Susan Boyle changed your mind about older contestants because no one was more surprised than you that she not only was as talented as she was as an undiscovered gem, but that she would resonate so much with audiences around the world as a singer.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and everybody thinks, I still see these things written now, that I knew what Susan was going to be like before we auditioned her. I mean, you know, God's honor, the first time we ever met her was when she walked out onto the stage. And I remember thinking at that point, oh, this is going to be useless. Oh, God, she's got a microphone. She's going to sing. I wasn't in a great mood. The audience weren't in a great mood. And, you know, the rest was history.
How many times does that happen where you see somebody like her, like Susan Boyle, and you think, oh, well, I can't wait to get to the next one because whatever happens between now and then is going to be a waste?
Oh, I think it all day long.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a wake-up call, to be honest with you, because when she did sing, I was astonished. And you're right, we signed her up to a recording contract. And then she went on to become the biggest-selling recording artist in the world. Mm. And that, I think, proves the point about the older age limit, that there is a market for somebody older. And I like the fact that both extremes can compete in one show.
Without being too rude, did you have the thought, I need to make her look a little more like Leona Lewis? Just a bit.
I had months, not years.
Sunday, March 27th, Los Angeles Sports Arena. Is this the only West Coast audition, Simon, for people who want to try out for the X Factor?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's the only one. And in fact, what the producers have said, if you can get there on the Saturday, you get a wristband or something, and it makes it easier for you on the Sunday because there's going to be a lot of people there. But
okay.
Regardless of how many people turn out, everyone's going to be seen.
Oh, and that's why you say there's no camping, right? You can't camp out like they do for the American Idol?
I think you can. Oh. I think you do whatever you like.
I must have read that wrong.
Okay. Well, right. You can go to fox.com/The X Factor for details. One final thing for you, Simon, and I'm thinking about a lot of these shows where thousands of people descend. How about right now you just tell people, if you suck, don't come down? Because it seems like that does nothing but waste everybody. You know who I'm talking about. The people who are just down there because they got nothing to do. They have no talent whatsoever. It just seems like it wastes nothing but time and resources for you and your staff.
Those are the best people.
Well, look, I think we've got to give everybody a shot here. And I'm going to be as open-minded as I possibly can. And just for if anyone doesn't know, I'm guaranteeing through Sony that the winner's going to walk away with $5 million in cash if they win.
Dude.
Now,
it's a big incentive.
One last question. We're running out of time, but we have Simon Cowell. Okay. I do have to ask you about those people who are terrible but think they're good. What percentage of them do you honestly believe hear beautiful music in their head, which is a certain amount of them, and what percent of them know they suck and are just trying to get on TV or whatever?
Well, those ones, I promise you, I can always spot, and I don't put them through. But look, life has changed. I think if Lady Gaga had walked into Idol 3 years ago with a lobster on her head, I think she would have been told no.
Right.
Now I would have said yes. So, times have moved on. I'm going to be more open-minded.
Go to Fox.com. Look for The X Factor for auditions. Sunday, March 27th at the Los Angeles Sports Arena, you could get the $5 million and have Simon Cowell hire you. Simon, great to catch up with you, my friend. You're welcome back anytime. Thanks for coming on the Kevin Bean Show.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you, guys.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 6:55.
Neon Trees, also Green Day, and Social Distortion in the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us. Ralph, I know at some point today you have the greatest giveaway in the history of giveaways. When's that happening?
Yeah, let's do it now. Let's do a couple right now.
Wait, the greatest giveaway in the history of giveaways?
I believe I'm not overselling it.
That has ever been given away here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right.
Tomorrow, a date that will live in infamy. Tomorrow is the day of the release
of
a film,
which is called,
known as,
yes,
by the title of,
Damn You, Sharktopus! Damn You, Sharktopus! Sharktopus released on DVD and Blu-ray tomorrow. How would you like to win it today?
Yes, please.
I have the power to give you a DVD or a Blu-ray version of Sharktopus for your home enjoyment.
Let me just clarify. We're going to mail this to them.
Yes.
So they will get it long after tomorrow.
They will watch it long after tomorrow, but they will know that they have it well before tomorrow.
Okay.
But most of the stuff we mail out, if it gets mailed out at all, is 10 to 11 months down the road. Right.
It'll be a while.
But you'll have the satisfaction of knowing, oh, I owned it before you did.
That's right.
You may not have it in your hand. You may not be able to watch it, but you'll know you've owned it.
Plus, it's like looking forward to Christmas for months and months. You go, that might come today.
You can put up your Sharktopus decorations. You can have the family over for Sharktopus festivities.
When I go to Best Buy tomorrow and buy my copy on Blu-ray, which I will, Ralph, how much do you get of that purchase?
I get 1.3 cents, I think.
All right.
I have no idea what I get, if anything. I have no idea.
Okay.
It's not about the money. It's about the art.
That's right.
And speaking of the art, it's worth buying just for the woman that's on stage with Ralph while he's on the screen.
Yeah. Yes.
She's something.
Sharktopus is half shark, half octopus, all monster.
That's right.
Damn you, Sharktopus! And Shandy Finnessy, my co-star, is all smoking hot babe.
Yeah.
Very little clothing.
Yep.
So if you'd like a copy, first three callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. I'll tell you what, I'll give you your choice. You can have it either a DVD or Blu-ray. And I know not everyone has a Blu-ray player, so your choice. Right. Tell Chip, who will be answering the phones, which one you want. First three callers will get a very own copy of Sharktopus!
We should talk to someone in that movie. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah, that. I was in the movie.
What's that?
Michael Madsen. Familiar with Michael Madsen?
Sure. Think. Giant squarehead.
Talented, tough guy actor, Michael Madsen.
Right, that too.
Wanted by the man. He's got a warrant for his arrest has been issued. They're looking for him. He's a wanted man. He's a fugitive.
I don't want to be the cop responding to that call, by the way.
No, because you know what he does? Ties you up in a chair, douses you with gasoline, and cuts your ear off.
That's what he does.
While he's dancing to Stuck in the Middle with You by Jerry Rafferty.
Wait, he does that every time?
Yes.
Oh.
That's why he's a wanted man, Kevin.
I didn't realize that.
Cut a dude's ear off. No, actually, he is wanted for an estimated $570,000 he hasn't paid in back child and spousal support.
Oh, man.
$500,000.
How did it get to that point before they do anything?
You think somebody would notice?
$200,000? Nope, let him go.
No, he's fine.
This is why you don't leave any ex-wives or kids alive when you get out of there.
Oh,
I'm telling you,
man.
Because the money.
No, it's not what you meant to say out loud, Bean, because that could be misconstrued.
Anyway, if you see Michael Madsen,
let him know.
Let him know. The cops are looking for him.
And then run like hell.
Because I've seen Kill Bill, too. He will put you in a box and bury you.
I think those are just movies.
You wish.
I think he will.
Speaking of putting people in a box and burying them, let's do that to Tyra Banks. What do you say?
Oh, yes. I would love it so much.
She's announced on Friday that she no longer wants to be known as Tyra Banks.
Oh.
From now on,
yes.
She's just Tyra.
Yeah, one name.
One name only. She will be known and refer to herself only as Tyra.
F her so much.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore, a big f***ing whore.
A point to say don't call me by my last name?
She was on the Ellen Show on Friday and she made it official. From now on, she'll be only known as Tyra.
Oh.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. Tyra.
No.
Bye. Will you embrace my big fat ass?
No, but I will stick a stick of dynamite.
Careful.
Somewhere in the region and light it.
She's so hateable.
She's so awful.
I don't know what the point of that is. I mean, people already call her Tyra. She's the only Tyra we know.
Now it's official.
She's demanding it.
She's made it official.
Wow.
And top 10 movies at the box office, since it is Monday. Let's see who was the big winner. Looks like Battle Los Angeles won the battle of the box office. $36 million in its debut weekend. Did very well.
Nice job, Kevin.
Sure, a lot of shooting. I'll tell you that. A lot of shooting. Loved it.
That's what it's about.
They were shooting.
Shooting at aliens.
Beginning
aliens
to end.
Shooting at us.
Loved it.
Rango was number two at the box office with a $23 million take. Red Riding Hood was third. The Adjustment Bureau, Mars Needs Moms, Hall Pass, Beastly, Just Go With It, The King's Speech, and Romeo and Juliet, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Today's celebrity birthday is Michael Caine is 78 years old, as is legendary composer-conductor Quincy Jones. Billy Crystal's 63. Okay. Michael Bland of Soul Asylum is 42. Grace Park celebrates her 37th birthday. Hi. Actor Chris Klein is 32. And Taylor Hanson of Hanson.
All right. Is that the girl?
He's the girl, I think. No, maybe he might be the keyboardist.
Oh, okay.
I think he might be the lead singer. I don't know. He's one of three Hanson boys in make up that band. No, sure. He's not. I know he's not the drummer.
Okay. The drummer's the girl, I think.
I think the drummer's the girl.
Okay.
So he's one of the boys.
All right.
Anyway, he's 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hey!
Hey,
by myself. Right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Our old friend Bob Scratch Goldfarb is going to be joining us next hour here on the program, and the Roastmaster General Jeff Ross talks about the Donald Trump roast. Can't wait for that, although he's a little bit too easy a target, I think.
Yeah, me too.
But anyway, that's all coming up
so
here on the program.
So was Hasselhoff, by the way, and that was funny.
Yeah, and it was still funny, yeah. I want to welcome DJ Omar Khan to the studio now. Omar, of course, who works hard behind the scenes. Sometimes not so hard, if you've heard some of the jingles that he performs for us.
How dare you.
But we had a conversation with Omar last week after this horrible, horrible disaster happened in Japan. And by the way, I don't know how much you paid attention to it, Kevin. I know you like a news blackout when you're gone.
I do very little, but it was hard to miss.
Earthquake, tsunami, and now nuclear reactors on top of it.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. And I'm going to urge you again. You'll find this information on our website. If you want to text to 90999, just text the word Red Cross, and that's a $10 donation right there to help the people of Japan. 90999. So Omar comes in on Friday after this whole thing happens, and he says, guys, you're not going to believe this. I was supposed to be in Japan today. And we're like, what?
I was supposed to fly out Friday afternoon.
When did the earthquake hit?
Thursday.
Thursday late night, like Thursday midnight our time or something like that.
Yeah.
So you, wow. I know that this is a trip you and your wife have been talking about for a couple of years, something you were really looking forward to. How did it happen that you didn't go?
Well, what happened was we were going through Expedia, and we went. We actually tried the first time. We're on the phone 3 hours, and our ATM card wouldn't go through.
Oh.
And we're thinking, like, you know, we have funds. We have, you know. So Expedia told us after being on the phone for 3 hours, hey, call your bank. Maybe there's a problem with that. We have all your information saved on the computer, so all you literally have to do. Is go in and punch in the codes the next day.
Can I tell the punchline?
Yeah.
That it didn't happen that way?
It didn't happen that way.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Okay, so.
we call what a
the
setup.
Bank. Yeah. We call the bank and they're all like, no, it's fine. You know, maybe there's a little glitch in the computer. Try tomorrow. It should be fine. We go the next day. Same kind of thing. It wasn't going on. So we're going to put it on a different card. And we find out that the location that we booked didn't offer the taxi from the airport to the hotel, which we were promised.
Okay.
And I guess it's a huge deal because we were going to be arriving around 7 or 8, and we're, you know, in a city that we don't know. We
of
don't
course.
Speak Japanese, so that was very important to us. So that's strike number 2.
Okay.
And we're like, and then strike number 3 is going back, coming back, I always get detained. Because my name is Omar Khan.
You should, right.
So we couldn't, we couldn't find a flight where the connecting flight was not over a half hour. You know, exactly, because they always detain me about an hour to 2 hours.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Omar?
That sucks. Yeah, every time I travel out of the country, Omar Khan. So that was strike number 3.
So as all these things are happening and it's more and more of a hassle to plan this trip that you've been looking forward to a long time, at some point you just threw your hands in the air like you didn't care. And
Absolutely.
Then you just said, we're just not going to go. It's just not working out for us this time.
There was too many bad vibes, and I was the one that definitely was pushing it. My wife didn't really want it to go. I wanted, you know, she wants me to put a baby in her, so she wanted,
wow,
you know.
Wow, does she need help with that? Because there's a lot of us that can actually do
so
it.
So this was going to be my last hurrah, you know, I was going to party my brains out in Tokyo,
right.
You know. And she wasn't really feeling the vibe, so I was just like, you know what, maybe this is just wasn't meant to be. We'll go in a couple of years.
Omar North Tower.
That's how he's better known as. Now, so you canceled it at the last second.
Canceled it. We're like, you know what,
wow.
Let's just not go. Yeah.
When did you see the report about the earthquake and the tsunami?
Friday morning.
Wow.
The day you were supposed to be going.
Exactly, yeah.
And Omar, how would your vacation have gone had you been on the plane and ended up in Tokyo?
You would have had to turn around because you didn't have the water landing gear.
Right. Well, they were like, you know, flying people to a different airport or something, or like actually a U.S. base that they had over there.
Oh my!
You know,
God.
It would have been bad time. It would have been the like, you know, ecstasy fueled party that I wanted to in Tokyo.
Wait a minute, but here's what's better. Your wife didn't really want to go. It was all you.
It was only me.
So it would have been a disaster, and your wife would have been going, this is what we came here for?
Last night she told me, dude, you're not in charge of planning anything else anymore.
Talk about dodging a bullet.
Absolutely, man.
Wow. Unless you care about human beings, and then you could have helped.
Yeah.
But you know.
That.
Right.
Yeah, that never occurred to Omar. Oh, if I were there, I could pull old people out of rubble. Never once even thought about that.
No.
So we started talking about this in the office last week when Omar expressed, you know, his dismay as to what ended up happening.
Omar something September 11th.
Because it's very rude of those people in Japan to ruin Omar's vacation by all this nonsense.
Yeah.
So we started talking about people who have dodged a bullet, people who tried to get somewhere, couldn't get there. Thank God they didn't get there. People whose plans changed at the last minute and something happened and they missed it. That's what we want to hear from you, because we know a lot of people have stories like this at 1-800-520-1067. And it's funny, you'd be playing those Family Guy drops because Seth MacFarlane is the perfect example of this kind of story. Was in Boston, woke up on September 11th, 2001, was late getting to the airport, did not make the plane that ended up being hijacked into the World Trade Center.
He was rushing as fast as he possibly could. He was frustrated. He was angry. He was calling his travel agent. He was doing everything he could to get on that plane.
Yeah.
And it ended up going into the World Trade Center. Thank God he didn't get on that plane.
Absolutely.
Talk about dodging a bullet.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So obviously most stories are not going to be as dramatic as that. But even Beer Mug, who's filling in for Psycho Mike right now, you can call us at 1-800-520-1067. Even Beer Mug had a circumstance where he was supposed to be someplace, wasn't, and thank God. What happened, Mug?
Yeah, it was. I took my mom to get her car serviced, so she was riding around with me. We were driving around early Saturday morning. Decided to run some errands, so we go to the bank. And my mom and I pull into the parking lot. It was crowded, so we look at each other. We're like, let's go get something to eat. So we drive to McDonald's. 10 minutes later, we get back from McDonald's. Caution tape, police cars. The bank was just robbed.
Wow. Coincidence?
Stuck in there.
I think not. McDonald's is his cover story. Right? How much did you get away with?
Nothing.
So there's no question, had you walked into the bank when you guys first pulled into the parking lot, you would have been in the bank when the guy showed up with the gun.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
How about that?
All right. That's... So it doesn't even have to be vacation. I was thinking vacation. No. But you just dodged a bullet in some way. You weren't someplace where you really, really wanted to be, and it turned out to actually be good.
Yeah. All right, that's the topic on the table, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Omar Khan, the father of the second bomb.
Right now we're talking about you dodged a metaphorical bullet. You were trying to get someplace, didn't end up being there, and thank God because something bad happened. Or you narrowly escaped tragedy, and it should have been you, but it wasn't. Those are the calls we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Let's talk to Joel. He's on the line in Fullerton right now on line one. Hey, Joel. Thanks a lot for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, man?
What's going on, guys?
Hi.
My cousin and I were leaving the gym. This is about a little bit after midnight a couple years ago. This is close to downtown Fullerton. I'm making a left-hand turn. And soon after I make the left-hand turn, we hear this huge accident. No brakes, no nothing. Just a huge explosion. We both turn around, smoke, debris flying everywhere. We turn back to go check it out, and, you know, it was a pretty bad accident, really bad accident. So I told a few friends about it, and the following morning, I found out that it was the accident where Nick Gaidenhart had gotten killed, the Angel pitcher.
Oh, yeah. That was a head-on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
That was a head-on, right?
Yeah, it was a drunk driver. And, now, what are you saying? So you saw the car right before it ran into his car killed him?
I didn't see the car at all. I remember seeing Nick Gaidenhart's, I believe it was an eclipse. I remember coming, it was coming southbound on the street, but I had plenty of time to make the left-hand turn. So right when I made the left-hand turn, I'd say about 4 or 5 seconds later, you hear the accident. It was, it was pretty loud.
That's right.
So it could have been you if it had been a few seconds in the other direction.
Exactly.
Proof that's that rough. God is not a baseball fan.
Right? No, I don't think that's what we're taking away from this at all.
All right.
Thank you very much. Let's try Roy. Roy is on line 7, joining us on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about dodging a bullet. Hi, Roy. Thanks for holding. What happened?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I went on a trip to Scotland from K-Rock.
Nice.
And we ended up extending our trip there. And the day after we flew back out, they bombed the airport.
Oh, wow. Oh. So you waited one more day?
Yeah, we would have been in the airport while they bombed it.
Wow.
And the crazy part is we parted with the band. They took us down to London, and when we came back, they blew the underground up too.
Wow. They were really trying to get you, Roy. Did you get that idea? Everywhere he goes.
All right, let me ask you this. Since you clearly have a charmed life and you spend all your time cheating death, have you made your life meaningful? Have you done something with that since clearly you're meant to be here?
No, not really.
I can.
That's what I thought. That's what I
thought. I can answer that for Roy.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's try Carl. Let's make it a little lighter on line 6. It doesn't always have to be escaping death. Hi, Carl. Welcome to the show. What happened?
Hi there. You guys remember when a few years back when the Rocky Mountain Railroad derailed at Disneyland?
Rocky Mountain Railroad?
I don't think I do.
You mean...
No, it wasn't Rocky Mountain. Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, I do.
Me and my sister had taken me, I had been like 12, 13 years old, she'd taken me to Disneyland, and we walked up, and the fellow that died, Marcello, I believe his name was right in front of us.
Wow.
And we decided not to get on the ride because the line was too long, hadn't gotten a fast pass, and... We decided not to go on, and had we gone on, we would have been on that train.
That is so creepy.
And actually, speaking of the irony of this, I decided to pull over on my way home from work. I work graveyards to make the call instead of driving while talking on the cell phone. And sure enough, a cop drove by me right as I pulled
How
off.
About so. That? You're also charmed, I guess.
Wow.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
I like Bean's follow-up. Have you done anything with your life now that you realized you had a second chance? No.
Well, I've...
I'm sorry I asked. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
I think he proved it. They proved your point, Kevin, with his answer. Let's take Eddie. Let's just do one more on line 3. This is, hey, late for work. Look what I missed. Eddie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, dude? Hello, Eddie.
Oh, Eddie's gone.
Hey, here I am.
Oh, there you are.
There you are. What happened, dude? Real quick.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Kevin? Sorry about that.
Thanks.
Anyways, yeah, I was late for work. I was working for a California-based company. We did stocks and stuff, and they flew us out to New York to do something. We were in the hotel room, and we actually didn't get our wake-up call.
Sure.
So we're running around, we're rushing around everywhere, and we're calling the taxi, and we're trying to get there. Hopefully we can still make it on time.
Where were you trying to get?
Not be too late. Excuse me?
Where were you trying to get?
We were trying to get to the World Trade Center in New York.
Ooh.
Was back in 96.
Oh, when the bomb went off?
Like I said, right.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It happened. We were supposed to be there when the bomb went off, so luckily we weren't.
You're talking about the first attack at the World Trade Center in 93 is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Back in 93, yeah. Sorry about that.
93, yeah, yeah, yeah. So you were late. You're a slacker, slash your alarm didn't go off, and you weren't at the World Trade Center. And then when you do finally show up, I imagine at that point it's already chaos and police tape, right?
Right. They're letting us know what happened, and we're just like, our family members are trying to get a hold of us, and no cell phones are working, and we're just missing an action. Everybody's worried
about
us.
You packed a bowl, didn't you? You were smoking out on that morning, and weed saved your life. Admit it.
You know what? After I found out what was going on, I was frantically looking for some weed.
There you go. There you go.
That's too late, man. You got to have it on hand.
That's a good lesson to take away from this conversation. Eddie, thanks for the call.
Everybody knows William Shatner breeds horses, which is a nice way to say that he f***ed them. Aren't you too fat to get on a horse? That was crazy. Did you hear the horse? The horse went, no! Courtney Love, you're like the girl next door. If you happen to live next to a methadone clinic, how is it possible that Courtney Love looks worse than Kurt Cobain? Pam, just for the record, I think it's kind of hypocritical that you care so much about animal rights since you've been torturing your own for years.
You cannot have a roast without our next comic, but it would be greater for once we tried. Please welcome living proof that Jews run Hollywood, Jeffrey Ross.
These roasts are incredible. The latest is the roast of Donald Trump airing tomorrow night on Comedy Central. They're great on the TV, even better on DVD when you get more of it, and it's uncensored. And we're always happy to welcome Jeffrey Ross to the program, who's very busy this week, so thanks for squeezing us in. Jeff, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm in full roast mode, baby.
I know you are. You know, I follow your Twitter, one of the most entertaining people on Twitter, and I know that you have just been up 24/7 for the last 2 weeks preparing for this thing. How did it go when you taped it last week?
It was really an epic fun roast. It was the first one we did in New York in 10 years on television. So there was a great energy, and roasting Trump in his hometown was, it could have been an all week long roast, I think.
Now what about the psyche of Mr. Trump? Is he he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who finds other people making fun of him very funny.
He seemed a little tense in the beginning. I'm not going to lie. I feel like it took him at least through Seth MacFarlane and Larry King and Whitney Cummings to relax a little bit.
But doesn't somebody pull him aside and say, look, these roasts are legendary. You just have to understand nothing is off limits. The more obnoxious and offensive, the better. You just don't they prepare him for that?
They can prepare you for it, but they can't necessarily prepare you for the premises and the angles that the comics take. You know, he just got surprised a few times, and he said to me during the first commercial break, he kind of winced and said, "This is brutal."
Now, let me ask you this question, because we had this conversation earlier today. Is it almost too easy to pick on Trump like we were afraid of Hasselhoff, where, you know, he's got the hair and he's, you know what I mean? Is it too easy?
You know, all the comics go through that. You know, sort of nervousness of going, we've all heard so many Trump jokes for years in every late-night show.
He's already a punchline.
And on top of that, it's like, even regular people around New York, especially, and with the, you know, they make fun of Trump all the time.
Right.
His name is everywhere.
Right.
So then it comes down to, this is in the hands of professionals.
Ah, that's right.
That's where you take over.
All right, I want to ask you about two people on the panel, and I don't know how much we'll see of them when it airs on Comedy Central tomorrow night. The first one I want to ask you about, early reports are, was a disaster. Jeff Ross, tell me about the situation being at the Trump Rose. First of all, why the hell was Mike the Situation Sorrentino even there?
Ratings.
Really? Just because of that Jersey Shore magic? Just trying to bring some of that to Comedy Central? Is that it?
Did he get up and try and be funny?
You know, we always look for somebody to make fun of. And this year, this kid was willing to go up there and make fun of himself and let us tease him about the show. And
those of you that haven't seen roasts, they make fun of Donald Trump, but they also make fun of everyone else that's on stage who are the roasters.
Right. Anybody up there is fair game.
Right.
So he was willing to go for it. He loves comedy. I've done shows with this guy before, and he's, you know, he's kind of like, he's a sincere guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's a professional entertainer in any way. But
as a comedian, he's a sincere guy. That's what you're saying.
And he was a good enough sport to come do this. The guys on the show who write the show, the funniest joke writers in the world, they helped him put a set together. He rehearsed it and rehearsed it. And honestly, I thought him and I improvised really well, and we did it just like a rehearsal.
Are you going to go out on the road?
No, I'm just kidding.
He was terrible.
All right, and the other one I want to ask you about.
Hold on. Let me just make it clear. He went on, and you know, this is a lot of pressure, guys. You know, speaking in public if you're not used to it.
Of course.
Especially when you look around and you see Seth MacFarlane and Snoop Dogg and Donald Trump and you. I mean, people that he probably really looks up to.
Exactly. And I saved him, you know, not saved him, but like he started to get a few catcalls from the balcony.
Right.
You know, go back to Jersey.
Sure.
You know, all stuff I heard when I was an open biker. And Lisa Lampanelli was sort of pinching me. She heard the boo start, and she was sitting next to me. And, you know, our good buddy Anthony Jeselnik was coming up next, and we didn't want the crowd to get unruly because, you know, you want it to be a taping and not a rodeo.
Right.
And I went up there, and I just sort of put my arm around him and helped him sort of have a dignified dismount. And he ended, you know, cute and fine. And then he sat down and he whispered to me, he goes, I did pretty good, right?
By the way, the ladies have always said about Jeffrey Ross, he's the guy to go to for a dignified dismount.
That's true. I understand. That is true. That's what he's known for.
The other guy on the panel, and I can't wait to hear your take on Larry King, Jeff, because we've all been following the saga of him leaving his CNN show and then coming out and saying he's taking his show on the road and he's serious about comedy. The early reports I'm hearing from people who were there is that Larry King did a really good job.
That was another really fun twist to this roast, is that everybody killed.
I have one clip from Larry King, and it's actually, I'm the first to go, no way is Larry King funny. But I have a clip where he's making fun of somebody, and it actually came out really well. And I want to know who wrote it, Jeff, because it could not have been him.
We're back with Snoop D-O-double-jizzle. That can't be right. Snoop told me during the break that once he had a DNA test that found he is only 71% black. That true? Unless my math is wrong, if you're 71% black, you're 29% not guilty.
Come on, that's Larry King.
He did his whole set as if he was doing his old TV show. So he kept taking callers that were only in his head.
Oh, that's awesome.
But he has,
really clever.
But anyway, he has good writers, right? I mean, he's not a funny guy. I mean, that would turn my world upside down.
The guys at the roast.
Okay.
And his closing joke, I don't know if I want to spoil it.
Well, don't then, but
it's going to be the biggest laugh of the at the end of
what?
His radio show. His quote unquote radio show. He's about to get off the podium, and he says, "Okay, now let's check in with Anderson Cooper and see what she's up to."
Now, Jeff, when you do these roasts, I know that they probably tape for several hours. It's probably a long night, and you have no idea what's going to make it to the broadcast tomorrow night on Comedy Central, right?
No, I don't.
Yeah, but as I mentioned when we brought Sean, at some point, probably very soon after the broadcast, it'll come out on DVD and we'll get to see a lot more and get to see it uncensored as well.
Well, what I do know is that everybody who was there stays in the show.
Okay.
You know, we shoot for like 2 hours and they use about an hour and a half, so it's not that far off.
Oh, okay. All right.
And Marley Matlin, who's on Celebrity Apprentice this season.
Right.
Is one of the show stealers, believe it or not. I mean, we've never had a deaf person at a roast before. She's a great sport. She does some really, 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 really funny stuff.
Awesome.
Self-deprecating. And I was really surprised. And, you know, I was there with Snoop sitting right next to him when we snuck off during a commercial break into a porta potty. And I don't know how much more I could say for legal reasons.
Sure.
But
we know.
I came flying back onto that dais and close the show. And it was one of the most exciting nights of my career.
Well, it looks fantastic. And, of course, Seth MacFarlane is always great. I love Whitney coming so much. Lisa Lampanelli, Jeffrey Ross, Snoop Dogg, The Situation, Larry King, and so much more. It airs tomorrow night on Comedy Central at 10:30. It's The Roast of Trump. Jeff, again, man, thanks for squeezing us in. We know you're busy. We love you, dude.
Oh, my God. Check out the pre-show on Comedy Central, too, that I'm hosting.
What pre-show? What do you mean?
I'm going to host a fireside chat from 9:30 at 9:30 on ComedyCentral.com, where people can roast me and take call in and Skype in and roast people and stuff. It's going to be very cool, very interactive.
I like it. All right,
sounds like fun. Thanks, dude.
Thanks, Jeff.
Guys.
Nice air guitar, Ralph. Nice. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 7:54.
Hello, Hollywood!
Mumford and Sons, just for you, Kevin. Straight ahead on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, the red jumpsuit apparatus and some Bush. It's all coming up. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's happening?
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about some passes to a red carpet world premiere? Would you like that?
No.
Goddamn right you would.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I've got them. Premiere of Sucker Punch. The new Zack Snyder film happens at the Grauman's Chinese Theater on Wednesday, March the 23rd. First two callers to get through, 1-800-520-1067. If you get through, I've got two pairs of passes to give away. And if you don't win, don't feel too bad, because it happens that the movie will be in theaters everywhere Friday, March the 25th. So you got that going for you. But it's this Emma Browning. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's the lead in it. She's the girl with the white blonde hair with the striking eyes who is the lead in the film. Boy, is she gorgeous. She works. She works for me.
All right.
I don't know how old she is, so I'm being careful about what I say. But
she young?
Yes.
Bean will know within 5 seconds.
Hey. I'm going to look it up right now.
I looked at her bio.
I'm unfamiliar with Miss Browning. Right.
Wow.
Speaking of movies, let's take a look at what was hot over the weekend. Battle Los Angeles, number one at the box office. $36 million it made in its debut. Kevin, you went to see this film, did
F'd
you not?
Them up. Hell knows.
Do aliens effed us up, or we effed the aliens up?
What do you think?
I don't know. I didn't see the film.
Oh, what do you think?
USA? Is that what you're saying?
USA.
All right.
Good. Effed them up.
Hey, Ralph Garman. Emily was born in 1988, so game on.
All right. Rango was second at the box office, the Johnny Depp animated film. $23 million made it number two. Red Riding Hood, the grown-up version of Red Riding Hood, where the wolf eats Red Riding Hood in a new and spectacular way. $14 million. The Adjustment Bureau was fourth, then Mars Needs Moms came in at number five. Hall Pass, Beastly, Just Go With It, The King's Speech, and Romeo and Juliet rounding out your top ten. Charlie Sheen is taking it to the streets.
All right.
He is going to entertain his Vatican assassin warlocks in person. He's got two dates that are sold out already, Detroit and Chicago, for Charlie Sheen Live, My Violent Torpedo of Truth.
Now, if somebody came up to you guys and said, hey, Charlie Sheen is playing in that theater over there in about 30 minutes. Here's a free ticket. You want to go in and see it?
I'd say, ooh, gosh, no. I got a lot of stuff on the TiVo backed
I've
up.
I've heard what he has to say.
I agree.
Message received?
Yep.
Yeah.
Newsflash, I am special, and I will never be one of you.
Right, got it.
We understand. You're got special. You have tiger's blood.
Uh-huh.
You can do all the drugs. You cured yourself.
You know
what you goddesses, you're winning.
Can't ad lib. You're done. You're stuck on that script.
You know what you can't do is no longer retain my attention.
That's true. Yeah. Thank you.
Scarlett Johansson got a new boyfriend.
Would you go, Bean?
No.
All right.
Not even a little bit. All right.
Sean Penn.
That's not possible.
Yes, it is.
But he's such a laugh riot, Kevin. What young woman wouldn't want to hang out with Sean Penn?
That is not possible.
Us Weekly magazine says the two had a 24-hour mini-vacation in Mexico. Where they got the most expensive suite at the hotel. And no one saw them for the rest rest of the time.
Dude, that's 24 hours right
just
there.
Just ordering room service and bouncy, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Do you think he makes sex interesting by going all Spicoli on it?
Oh, can you imagine? We have that. Do you have that piece
no.
of tape, Kevin,
yes.
the interview killer?
We don't.
When
yes,
he was talking to Sean Penn about Into the Wild.
We don't have time for that.
Which was a brutal film about a young man trying to find himself in Alaska.
Right.
And and Kevin, because Sean Penn was the producer of the film, was suggesting maybe that he should have taken another tact.
Is this a role that you would have wanted to play, Sean, had you been young enough for the role?
I was a good deal older than the guy when I first read it, so it never came to mind that way. I never could have or did consider that.
You could have gone comedy with it and been Spicoli. It's changed the whole thing around.
not at all, Kevin.
No,
but I did.
Here's what I love about Bean is that most of the time he'll just let me die. Because everyone enjoys that. Yeah. But in that particular case, he was so embarrassed.
Yeah.
He had to step in and go, nope, let's talk about something
else.
He was
trying not to make your guest uncomfortable, and he could tell that he was by his silence.
His complete and utter silence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin, the interview killer.
And as we, when we deconstructed the interview afterwards, we said, Kevin, look, I understand that question if you're talking to Steve Carell.
No.
But Sean Penn is not known for his wackiness. What made you think that that was going to work
with him? I told you at the time. I knew it wouldn't work.
Uh-huh.
But I'm a little pissed by how seriously he takes himself. So F him, I'm going to do it anyway. That was my, I couldn't not do it.
But wasn't
mission
his
accomplished? Did you?
Wasn't his tone for this interview about a serious role that he's, you know, producer, director, whatever it is? It was appropriate for the project that we were talking about.
Sure, but isn't his tone for everything that? Well, don't you get tired of that?
You taught him.
I didn't.
You schooled him.
And I knew it would be a disaster.
You
and
schooled
I knew
him.
He wouldn't take it well, and I couldn't help myself.
Just look at him now. Look what you've done. Now there he is just banging Scarlett Johansson for 24 yeah. hours in Mexico.
I did crush him.
That's
you
true. Win,
you rule. Did. You ruined his life.
You win.
I ruined but in the back of Sean Penn's mind, as he's buried between Scarlett Johansson's enormous boobs, yes. You think he's thinking, that DJ, oh, man, he really upset sure me. He really got me off my game.
Yeah. He burned me. Yeah.
All right, it didn't accomplish anything except for to make me look bad, but I couldn't help it. Thank you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Caine is 78 years old today. Composer, conductor, legend Quincy Jones, Q, as he's known to his friends. He's 78. Billy Crystal's 63. Come back to the Oscars, won't you, Billy? Grace Park, 73 years old. Chris Klein is 32. And Taylor Hanson of Hanson celebrates his 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We know how that one ends, right? Come on. We've heard it a lot.
There is no substitute for Bush.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Very excited about our next guest. He's been on this program for, it's got to be close to 20 years, Bob. You've been coming in.
It is actually decades, yes.
Decades. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Bobcat Goldthwait has joined us in studio. Writer, actor, comedian, voiceover artist, mostly probably best known for his devastatingly handsome looks. But
Sure, I would say that. Now, speaking of being on the show for decades, if you would like to hear me do some of those same jokes, I'll be taping a Showtime special. These jokes are going to be fresh, ladies and gentlemen. What is it with this Ronald Reagan?
Bob, you know that we're going to get to the plug,
okay,
right?
We'll
you
get to the plug. No, I was listening to the show. You were talking about escaping disasters and in near misses. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
I almost married Nikki Cox.
You should have called in.
That's a disaster.
Wow.
Hey, by the way, I'd really like to do a guest, a little cameo on the April Fool's show. I think that would be great.
You're welcome to. I think that would be hilarious. Yeah, it's a great lineup, isn't it?
Especially after that last joke.
Yeah, I'll go on after
Jay. I'd like to suggest perhaps no.
Maybe you come on with Jay. That's a good idea.
We'll do a buddy act.
Now, Bob, who in recent years has become a great director and has gotten acclaim for being a great director, both in television and in motion pictures, has now returned to his roots, ladies and gentlemen. Bob, I understand you are doing stand-up again, and not just because you need the money, but because you actually are enjoying it. Is that right?
Well, there's a connection you make with a live audience that you... No, I need the money. This is the alimony tour. We're all paying for a pool that none of us swim in if you come see me.
Okay, good.
No, I'm back. Yeah, I actually am writing material again and having fun. And I hate to say that, though, because nobody wants to see a comic having fun.
Well, you do seem like a tortured lot, and
it's
more funny when you're angry. But...
Yeah. You don't want a guy that's happy up
there.
Hey,
my life sure is good. Anyone?
Yeah. But, so I'm out there. Yeah, I wrote, new Furby jokes.
All right. New jokes about Furby.
Whatever the kids are into.
Now, this is, you're taping a Showtime special. This is only your fourth that you've ever taped?
Yeah, I've taped three HBOs, and this will be my first Showtime.
Why the rush?
Why the rush? I think it's my turnover. Actually, the last time I was on Showtime, I was at this Harley thing that they had comics go to. And this is a true story. I signed an autograph on this woman's arm, and then she had it tattooed onto her arm.
Right at that
moment. Oh, my God.
And I tried to talk her out of it. I go, don't do this. She goes, why not? I go, because you might think, you know, someday I'm not that funny anymore. And she said, right on camera, she goes, then I'll add sucks.
Speaking of hit. Well, listen, if you want to be in the audience, and this is an opportunity to not only see Bobcat, but see Bobcat the best way possible, which is free. And that's going to, because really, a lot of times you pay for it, then you walk out going, oh, man, that was not worth it. But for free,
take it
for
easy,
free,
man.
I'm saying, how can you lose?
He is right here.
It's going to be at the Alex Theater, which is a great theater, by the way, on North Brand Boulevard in Glendale. And here's what you do. You go to, wow, this is a tough, it's a tough, no, tough simple, web address to get. It's on-camera-audiences.com. Nope. On-camera-audiences.com. And that's how you can get tickets
or just
free.
Go to the Alex Theater. They'll direct you that way. And if you say when you're getting a ticket that you found out because you're a friend of a comedian, then you'll get you know, the best seats. That's true.
You're a friend of the comedian. So they'll ask how you found out.
If
don't
you say
you listened to us.
Heard from a comedian, okay, and then you'll get the best seats. And my show tapes at around 8, so get there at 7. I know my target audience.
Sure. So you're going to actually go on at 9.
Yeah. Okay. No, but so there we go. We got the plug in.
All right. So Alex Theater in Glendale, if you want to see Bob, tomorrow night is when you're taping the Showtime special. And then when do we think it's going to air, Bob? Do we know?
Actually, relatively soon. So it's,
as soon as they can edit out the Furby joke.
as soon as they can make it relevant. but I have actually been on the road, and it's pretty funny. You know, you said you made fun of my looks. Now, I know I'm not a piece of ass by any stretch of the imagination, but this is a true story. Recently, I got done with a show, and this really drunk young girl came up to me, she's like flirting. She's like, if you came home with me right now, I would, well, F you all night is what she said.
All right.
I don't think that's actually flirting, really, but that's how dumb I am.
It's a step further than flirting.
Yeah, that's a Hail Mary pass. Sure. I'm like, what's the subtext here? I don't know what she's saying.
I'm not a read between the lines.
But, like, I was supposed to get all like, ooh, right? She goes, I'll do it all night. And I'm like, all night? I'm 48. That sounds horrible. Horrible. I'll do it all night. Like, if she said, you come home with me, we do it all night. Or if she said, I'll F you once, and then we'll cuddle all night. I'd be like, well,
fall asleep.
You know, or we'll do it once, cuddle, and then I'll make you a low-sodium breakfast. You know, that might actually test the bounds of my matrimony. You know, I like the new wife. I have a wife. You know that.
You got married again?
Yeah.
I didn't remember that.
I like the 09. She's a good
girl. The 09?
The 09 and I were at the Burbank Airport the other day. This is a true story. And I got all quiet, and she's like, what are you doing? I go, shh, I'm getting an erection. Because I wanted to have an erection if they were going to, you know.
When you went through the
search? Yeah, because if the TSAs are going to, you know, right, grope you, I'm definitely.
You're down?
I'm a grower. I'm not a shower. No, it wasn't like in a sexy way.
No, you wanted them to be uncomfortable.
Totally.
Yeah,
now, if we all did that, they would stop grabbing
us.
That's a great point.
You could be the horniest gay guy in the world, and if everybody had an erection, you would quit eventually. It would, like, affect your home life. You know what I mean? You'd come home, you'd be like, get that out of my face. I had stiff wieners in my face all day. That's the last thing I need.
That is fantastic advice.
Well, how did it work out?
Oh, so I actually did work one up.
Yeah.
She's like,
how did it work out?
She goes, we're the only people having this conversation. I'm going, shh, don't talk.
Wait, the 09?
Talk.
Yeah. The 09, when she talks, it already doesn't work?
No. I go, keep talking.
Okay.
Let me see your cans. All right, so I actually was impressed. My daughter hates the story, but it's true.
I actually
got it going.
Right.
And then the guy was really friendly. He's like, oh, hello, Mr. Goldthwait. And I lost it immediately.
Took you out of the fantasy.
Yeah, if I was going to have gay sex, it would have to be a grudge.
But
you know
wait
what I mean?
A minute. It went away that quick?
Yeah, well, it was like a semi. It was like, hi. And I was like, gone. Yeah. That's definitely the deal breaker.
You really aren't turned on by all night. That's a bad thing for you.
I'm embarrassed that I did not know that you had married again. But
well, that's all right.
Does the 09 know about 2012?
Does it, the 09? No, the 09 is a good gal.
Okay.
And,
right.
And,
okay, but I have to ask, since she did marry you, is she blind or deaf or both?
Oh,
what? So I just, no, I just.
You got
what?
Married.
What's wrong
I'm
with
just,
you?
The fact that you got married means women are better than men.
Jesus. I don't know, Bean. I thought we were like bros. I don't know why you're coming down to that.
I think she's probably super hot. I'll bet she's a 10.
I'm not going to get into this. I am very happy, and she's a nice gal. And
she's a very lucky woman
and
to have.
She's not in front of the camera. That's the key, I think.
All right.
Bob Stretch Goldfarb is here. The Showtime comedy special taping is going to be tomorrow night. Bob says the show starts at 8. Please get there around 7. Go to the Alex Theater website in Glendale to get the tickets free and be in the audience for the Showtime special. By the way, my fear is, Bob, that people know that you're there taping a television special. So there'll be more hecklers than usual trying to make it on the TV.
Well, you know, whatever.
That's good. Bobcat can handle it.
Yeah, that's fine. I hecklers don't bother me. The texting does. You know, that's the thing.
People texting during your show?
Yeah, you know, and you're like, you're bored. I know how these jokes end. You know what I mean? About me, you know.
Well, you will have a great time if you go because Bob is very, very funny on stage. And he's got a fantastic idea for a new movie that I got my fingers crossed that it gets made. And you can tell us about that.
I'm starting the movie.
Right. It's happening, huh?
Yeah, that's it. I'm starting
filming
in April.
Can't wait to talk about it when we return with our guest, Bob Kick Goldthwait, right after this on the Deny
My Dear.
Banjos. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 24 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Bobcat Goldthwait in the studio taping his new Showtime comedy special tomorrow night at the Alex Theater in Glendale. Go to their website for details on how you can be in the audience. It's free. Showtime comedy special taping at around 8 o'clock. Now, this is interesting, Bob. We do want to talk about your movie, but we have Gary Busey back on the phone, who called us last week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, the Oscar-nominated actor Gary Busey, also a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice and just killing it on NBC Sunday nights. And you know Gary Busey, right, Bob?
Well, I've met him, yeah.
You've met him. All right, let's bring Mr. Busey back onto the show. Hey, Gary, how are you, man?
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Right.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Sugar jets. Sperm farmers.
Yeah. Sperm farmers is the name that Gary came up with to name their team on The Celebrity Apprentice, the guy's team, Sperm Farmers.
It wasn't well accepted.
It was not. It didn't go over well. Yeah, Gary, why are you calling? What's going on, dude? Why are you calling back?
Well, I just figured that I'd keep this train rolling and I'd get back on the horn.
That's good with us.
Tell you guys a little bit more about this week's show on Celebrity Apprentice.
Okay. All right. What happens?
Well, it seemed like this week they had both teams, they had to set up a children's book.
Right.
And then we had to act it out in front of a bunch of kids, 4 and 5 year olds. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And you played kind of a younger version of yourself out there, a little bit spastic on stage, you in the overalls.
Those were out of my personal wardrobe.
I felt they might be.
Was that the truth with you as the a preacher, the prophet preacher, whatever you called yourself?
Well, that was the pepperoni prophet.
Pepperoni prophet, sorry.
Well, and I think next week we're going to go for the salt and the sausage.
Okay, all right.
Good. Now, there was some controversy last week, Mr. Busey, when you called in. Some people on the show doubt that it's really you. Because why would Gary Busey be calling the Kevin and Bean Show all the time? We're honored if it's you, but my fear is that maybe we're being punked here. And that's why it's good timing that our friend Bobcat Goldthwait is here, because Bob, you had a thought on this. You had a question
that you think may
settle this for good.
Hi, Gary. It's Bobcat Goldthwait.
Good morning, Bobcat.
Hi. Do you the last time we spoke, where was it? That's my question.
Oh.
Well, I'll tell you what. A lot of things in my memory do get, the details, and sometimes get foggy.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I talked to Bobcat.
That's true. And you're who you are.
Do you remember where we were the last time we spoke?
I'll tell you what I do remember. I remember what the word sober stands for, and that means son of a bitch. Everything's real.
Okay.
We were on the side of a road.
All right. Were you on the side of a road? Does that bring you?
Are we jogging your memory at all, Gary?
My memory takes a lot to get jogged.
Okay. So you're on the side of the road. What else?
Oh, I was filming something.
Filming something?
You pulled up in your car, and you called me a seer.
I called you a soothsayer.
Yeah.
And did I help you change your tire?
No.
Now, he wasn't broken down. He was filming. He was on the side of the road because he was filming, Gary.
I was selling oranges. and you bought some oranges.
How many did I buy from you? How many did I buy?
Yeah, no, you bought them all. I don't know if you remember this, but I also am not 100% sure that it still could be you. What?
Well, for all the naysayers,
I believe it's him.
You know, it's tough to beat Gary Busey.
I imagine.
I'm sure that's actually true. Yeah,
it would be a hell of a lot tougher to fake Gary Busey.
And Gary, I want you to see. Now you're making me doubt. I want you to call every day though, because if it's you, I love you so much.
What time would you like that phone call?
Just whenever you get up, give us a call.
All right, well, I'll call you back in about an hour when I get up.
Okay, good. Okay.
Thank you, Gary. All right, Gary, nice chatting with you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Then, can I tell you a little bit more about Celebrity Apprentice?
Well, actually, we're actually out of time.
We're
actually
out of time, Gary.
Yeah, we're out of Bob's time, right? Next time, though. Thank you, Gary.
Okay. I want to tell you how LaToya keeps trying to put a sheet over my head and call me Blanket. Okay. I know it's Michael.
All right. You can tell us that later, Gary. Thank you. All right.
Go back to bed.
Bye now.
All right, Bob, you've got a keen comedy mind. What do you think?
I think it is. I almost think it's him, and then he does one-liners, and he's a little too...
That's what I'm saying, is the one-liners. He's got too much material.
Yeah, it's a little too Shecky Busey.
But here's my thing. I trust our producer, Alex, and she verified it. So I believe that it's him.
I'm going to need him to pee in a cup.
I think Alex is shaky, first of all. And second of all, I don't think it's Gary Busey. Right. But I'm fascinated with it. Look, either way, I love it. If it's not Gary Busey, I'm still having a great time talking to the dude. You know what I mean?
We don't mind being punked if he's entertaining.
But I think, yeah, that's true. I think I'm not even here, actually.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry, Bobcat. You have a movie that you're making that Bean swears I'll love.
But we don't have to promote it yet, but I'm starting to film it in April. It's a new movie, and it's about a guy whose life is horrible, and his life is really terrible. Okay. and he's almost near suicide, and he's sitting at home and he's watching a show that's a lot like that show, My Super Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. So he drives 400 miles and he kills that girl from the show.
Just because he hates her so much because she's such a spoiled brat, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so then one of her classmates is like, "Did you just kill Chloe?" And he doesn't say anything. And she goes, "Awesome." And then they get in a
closing
stolen
credits.
Yeah, and then they get in a stolen Camaro. No, that's the start. That's then they're off and running.
Wow.
So it's called God Bless America. And
did this come about? Were you just flipping around on the remote one night and you came across Sweet 16? You said something's got to be done about these spoiled kids?
It's just me and the 09 watching TV together. It was really, I wrote the script as a Christmas present to her.
Sweet. That's very sweet. That's because awesome. Of the shooting.
Yeah. So I start filming that in April. And the same folks that... Darko, they're the folks that, you know, I made World's Greatest Dad with. They're on board. And
fantastic.
Yeah. And my friend Joel Murray stars as Frank, the lead in the movie.
Frank the Tank? Fantastic. I'm very excited.
Well, it sounds great, Bob. And I'm so happy you got so much going on. You got the wife, and you're happy, and you look great. And thank you so much for coming in. And
now he's backpedaling.
I know.
No, I'm not backpedaling at all.
You opened with that I look like crap pie, and now you're like, oh, yeah. Well,
because that was just for yucks. But now I'm telling you sincerely as I shake your hand goodbye, you look great, and you're a friend, and I'm glad things are going so well for you, and we appreciate you coming in. That's all.
Oh,
see
boy.
Bob in concert tomorrow night taping his Showtime
Nobody
comedy
knows
special.
To believe. No, we can't trust anyone in this room.
No, we can't.
We're on the phone.
I want to trust Gary Busey at this point.
The Alex Theater in Glendale tomorrow night. Go see our friend Bob taping his Showtime comedy special. Come see us again soon, man.
Thanks. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Don't forget the World Tour 2011 continuing. Destination number 8 is Mumford & Sons in London's Hyde Park. Keep listening to score tickets to the Railroad Revival Tour on April 22nd in San Pedro. And then you also get a limited edition signed lithograph and you get on the standby boarding list.
Nice.
Kevin just used the word lithograph in a sentence, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I read it. That's coming up. You can go to krock.com for details. It is 8:39.
All right, party people, Mondays on the Kevin and Bean Show, we always look forward to for one reason, our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, who joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Harvey. How are you, man?
I'm really good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great. The site, of course, is updated. It seems like about every 90 seconds. It's unbelievable how much stuff you got up there, and you're breaking a Gilbert Gottfried story. What was the last time Gilbert Gottfried was at the top of your page?
Well, I mean, he's unbelievable at these roasts. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen it. He's hilarious at these roasts.
Yeah, he's horrible and hilarious at the same time.
Oh my God, he just tweeted, which Gilbert Gottfried, that's dangerous for him to tweet.
That's why I love Twitter, because the wrong people's hands, it's really dangerous.
It's unbelievable. He's telling these jokes about Japan that are just unreal.
You don't think tsunami jokes? You don't think we're ready for those yet?
I mean, they have thousands of bodies that they haven't pulled out yet. And some people are already past that. I guess Gilbert is one of them. But you know what? I was thinking about this as I saw your story, Harvey. And again, you can see the tweets at TMZ.com if you've got that black sense of humor. Others should not go there because you're
not
offended.
Go if you're offended. Oh, my God.
Right, if you're offended, right. But I will tell you that what's even worse than a comedian just trying to get a laugh out of this was the people for reals on Facebook right after the thing happened. And there were hundreds of them who were putting up posts that say, this is what Japan gets. This is karma. This is what you get for Pearl Harbor. It's payback, bitch. Oh. I mean, there were some really ugly people that came out after that horrible event in Japan. And that made me a lot sadder than anything a comedian might say.
Yeah, no, I mean, it really is just amazing that, you know, I mean, I never ceases to amaze me. There's such anger.
Yeah.
In the country, in the world. I mean, I see it a lot just from comments people make when they're on the site. And
sure.
It's everywhere. I know what you're talking about. That shocked me, too.
Speaking
and you know what's weird about it, too, is that Pearl Harbor, you would think that young people tweet and they would have no, like, recollection, appreciation for it. So that one kind of struck me, too.
Well, I mean,
absolutely.
There's also an answer to that, which is there was some payback for that. So
the answer is they saw the Josh Duhamel movie.
You know what I mean? I was like, weird, but strange. They left out part of the story.
And speaking of anger, and I forgot to bring this up last week when you were on, Harvey, but one of the many Charlie Sheen rants, he had a shout out to TMZ that I thought was very funny.
Jeez, can I have one little part of my life that's not like TMZ'd up the butt? You know?
I don't think I'd heard TMZ'd up the butt before as an expression, but I hope that catches on.
Can we start using that? Do you mind?
Oh my God!
What do you make of the latest in the saga, which is the stage show that sold out in minutes in Detroit and Chicago? What's he going to do on stage though?
So that we were talking about it today in the meeting. You know, so here's what happens. He's I think April 2nd and 3rd he's opening in Detroit and then Chicago the next day, and he's going to do a stage show, and it sold out in Ticketmaster in 18 minutes. It sold out faster than any other show that Ticketmaster's ever done. So why would people go? I think it's one of those things where you just want to see a train wreck and you want to see somebody kind of implode, and everybody's wondering it's going to happen at this show.
Yeah.
And I think this is an act. I'm telling you, the more I look at this, the more he's an actor, and I think that a lot of what Charlie is doing is an act. You can't go that crazy that quick.
If he was an actor, that would mean that he has writers and he hasn't had anything new written for him in too long. You know what I mean? Like, he keeps saying the same things.
No, because there are certain actors, you know, who are smart, and Charlie's smart, and, you know, and the good thing about what Charlie's doing is it doesn't have, the less sense it makes, the better it is. So he can just freestyle, and
he doesn't. He keeps saying the same things.
Which then makes me reinforce that this is some kind of an acting thing, that he knows what's working, and he's just doing it, and he's over and over and over again. I'm telling you, you can't go, from when he was on drugs, he was way less crazy than he is now.
No, but I agree, but isn't he acting his way out of being employable, though, the longer he goes on acting crazy like this?
Okay, so let's now have a Charlie Sheen pity party. Do you realize that that show is in syndication, and he gets a huge amount of money when that show is... Charlie doesn't have to work for another day. That show is a cash register for him.
Yeah.
Forget about the first-run shows. In syndication, it's a huge, huge show.
Once it goes into syndication, it's also on way more often.
In way more cities,
yeah.
And they sold it for a fortune,
yeah.
And he gets a huge chunk of that. So Charlie Sheen, you know, everybody's saying, oh, he's unemployable. It's like, I would love to be unemployable that way.
Yeah. Unemployable unless, and also not have to work.
Unless that's what you enjoy. I mean, if you enjoy doing it, which you would assume he would, but maybe not. Maybe he doesn't. But you think
He's done the show for 8.5 years. He doesn't like Chuck Lorre. He's probably tired of it. He's now got all the money that he wants to get, and he knows what the prospects are. So he can afford to act out.
So you think this is all an act?
I think I've just changed my opinion about it in the last week, and I think a lot of it is an act. I really do.
Well, I will tell you this. It's interesting, and I am curious to see what happens on the live shows. Just like you said, people want to be there for the train wreck. I suspect what's going to happen is the same thing that happened on that Saturday night a couple weeks ago when he did his first Ustream broadcast from the house, which is we all tuned in, 120,000 of us, and about 10 minutes in, we realized it was boring, and we regretted it, and we turned off our computers and went out and did something else.
I think people
are going to be sitting in that. They're going to be sitting in that theater. They're going to be like, what are we doing here? Have we seen enough of this jackass? Let's go.
So I got to tell you guys something.
Right.
I got to tell you something because I've been wanting to talk to you guys all weekend. I saw Psycho Mike at the gym on Saturday.
Dancing with the Stars is Psycho Mike?
I saw Dancing with the Stars is Psycho Mike.
Yeah.
So I had something happen. About 2 months ago, I was on TMZ Live, which is this little internet little show we do every
right,
day.
Right, right.
So somebody wrote in, sing a song. And so I sang My Way.
Right.
And people just started writing it and trashing me.
Sure.
And then the next day on the show, everybody in the room turned on me and they just eviscerated me. So then that
so
day,
far I'm with everyone. Go
okay,
ahead.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. So it's gonna turn.
Okay.
So Paul Anka calls into the next TMZ Live and says, "Everybody in this room, everybody who's talking is full of crap." He said, "I'm telling you, you were good, and I can make you sound great, and I'm going to record you singing My Way."
That's not
now.
Gonna
let
happen.
Me let me stop you right there, just for many of our audience who don't know that. Paul Anka is the one who put the English language lyrics to that song. So he's a co-writer of the great Frank Sinatra hit My Way. So it matters what he says.
Huge. So listen to this. I just stopped and I got chills.
Do you have a joint dropping?
Friday night. Friday night.
All right.
I went to Capitol Records.
Nope, this didn't happen.
With Paul Anka.
All right.
And I sang My Way. He produced it, and I sang My Way in the same studio and into the same microphone that Frank Sinatra sang it in.
And what's going to happen to that recording?
I've got it. He mixed it and did the whole thing, and I've
oh
got it.
Oh, my God. Is he going to get fired for that?
You know what? See, you're just like our office. It's like, hey, can I ask you something? What if it's good? You just are immediately
Harvey.
Dismissing it.
No, but you know why? Because there's such a history of people who are successful in one area thinking they can do something else. And
but
a lot of times they can't.
I didn't seek it out.
Look. You could be great. I don't know. I didn't
But you're assuming it's horrible.
Yes.
But that's the thing. You're assuming it's horrible.
Right. I am assuming it's horrible. But
okay, what if it's not?
I have an open mind. If it's great, I'll admit it.
What are you going to do with the song, Harvey?
I got plans.
What do you got? What are you going to do?
Come on now.
I'll tell you guys in due time in a couple of days, but I got plans.
So you're sitting on the hottest joint on the planet right now. You're not going to share it with anybody. Right? I mean, Bieber is out there sweating right now that you're going to take over the world with this new song and you won't play it for us.
You're just making big assumptions.
All right, but here's my point. If it was truly great, I would hear it.
Well, maybe you will.
You will.
He's got to do the setup.
But it's done. Plans. It's finished, right?
It's done.
Okay.
All right.
It's done. Paul stayed until 2 in the morning. I got to tell you guys, seriously, it was the single most exciting thing I've ever done.
I don't doubt that. What a rush. What an unbelievable rush for somebody who's not a singer.
He was singing with Rush?
As a kid, I used to go from Reseda to Hollywood on my bike, and I used to stare at that building for an hour and then go back home because that building is so amazing.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
No, it sounds like super. I mean, it sounds like a Make-A-Wish kid, you know, gets to do that last thing.
It was totally a Make-A-Wish thing.
All right, well, you let us know when
you will get a call.
I have a clip that has been released online if you'd like to hear it.
You do know
of Harvey singing My Way?
That's correct. Here you go. Not even Paul Anka can make that good.
That's not Harvey. All right, TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. And, of course, TMZ Television, check your local listings. All right, Frank Sinatra, we'll talk to you next time. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up after the top of the hour, we'll talk to Jeremy Stenberg, perhaps better known as Twitch, the freestyle motocross rider on his new show, The X-Life on VH1. That's coming up now. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I have some things to give away.
All right.
How about your choice, DVD or Blu-ray, of a little movie I like to call Sharktopus?
Now, why do you like to call it that, Ralph?
Because that's the name of the movie.
Are there any
Damn
other
you, Sharktopus!
Are there any other choices?
Nope. It was on Sci-Fi Channel, you may remember. Tomorrow, it comes out on Blu-ray and DVD. We're all very excited about it. So they gave me some promotional copies to give away to you, the fine Kevin and Bean listeners, and I'm doing just that. Let's take the next two callers at 1-800-520-1067. Next two callers, you get your choice of DVD or Blu-ray. How about that? Your choice.
All right.
Sharktopus in stores everywhere tomorrow. Couldn't be more excited.
Well, I could.
You could.
But it would take a lot to get me there.
It's Monday. Let's see how the box office for the major feature films was. Number one, Battle Los Angeles. $36 million, number one.
Well, a lot of bullets. That's what
I'm saying. Well done, Marines and Aliens. I hear tale that there it's a little wide open for a sequel there towards the end of that film.
Is that
they're looking for a franchise?
Yeah, oh sure.
Well, they have like a dozen other cities that are taken over by aliens.
Correct.
Right? So there we go.
Yeah.
You could get a bunch. Rango, number two. At the box office this weekend, $23 million. Red Riding Hood was third. The Adjustment Bureau made $11 million. Mars Needs Moms was fifth. Then Hall Pass, Beastly, Just Go With It, The King's Speech, and Romeo and Juliet.
I read this morning that Mars Needs Moms might be one of the greatest financial disasters in movie history, Ralph. It cost, $150 million or something like that to make it. How much did you say it made this weekend?
It made $6.8 million.
Wait, how did it cost that much money?
I don't know.
Well, it was all done with motion capture animation as opposed to just CGI or hand-drawn animation. They put the actors in these motion capture suits and they make them perform out the whole movie. Well, it's like the Polar Express did.
Yeah.
In order to translate that into computer graphics. And so it's an expensive process.
All right.
Is that all right with you?
Yeah, it just seems odd. Like, how does it cost that much? I still don't understand, but okay.
Tyra Banks has dropped her last name. From now on, she officially wants to be known just as Tyra. Miss Banks, if you're nasty.
Why, though?
Because she's a big star.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
She's a big star. And she needs to be known by one name, like other big stars. Like Madonna and Cher and Elvis.
Yeah.
Carrot Top. All the biggies.
He's just known by Carrot now.
Just Carrot. And here's good news for Charlie Sheen. Tom Sizemore is coming back to television.
Oh, wow.
Was there a bigger mess ever than drugged out Tom Sizemore?
He was pretty bad. He was
Remember
pretty
on
crazy.
Celebrity Rehab, him and Heidi Fleiss, his ex-girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a good time.
That was ugly.
He's back on television. He's got a co-starring role with Ethan Hawke in a new Fox drama called Exit Strategy, where he will play the go-to guy in a team of mercenaries who extract CIA agents when they get into trouble overseas.
Okay.
So he's like a character you played in Black Hawk Down, sort of a badass mercenary. And look, he's had a storied battle with drug addiction in the past decade. He was convicted of assault and battery against his girlfriend Heidi Fleiss at the time in 2003. Arrested again in Bakersfield for possession in 2007. Arrested again in 2009, an outstanding warrant for drug charges. So, hopefully this is a chance for him to get his life together.
He was a pussy.
Yeah, well, he's no Charlie Sheen, that's for sure. He's no ninja warrior, warlock, Vatican
tiger
pope,
yes,
whatever he is. Today's celebrity birthday is Michael Caine is 78 years old. Quincy Jones, composer and conductor, is 78 as well. Billy Crystal, 63. Michael Bland, drummer for Soul Asylum, is 42. Grace Park, the actress, is 37. Chris Klein's 32. And Taylor Hanson of the band Hanson.
Oh, she's good.
It's a dude.
Oh.
He's 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin Abin Show recap of Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice from last night, coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Speaking of the TV, you got that on the Sunday nights. Monday nights, I hope you're watching The X-Life on VH1. Our friend Twitch is on the show, of course. It's been a big hit over there. Monday nights at 10 o'clock, Jeremy Twitch Stenberg joins us on the Kevin Abin Show right now. How are you, Twitch?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Well said, I could ask that better. That's a pretty easy question to screw up. you've been on camera a lot in your young life, but what made you want to do a full-time TV show for VH1?
I don't know. They just came to us, and they came to us with the idea, and I was just like, yeah, screw it. I'll do it. I'll let people into my life and let them see what it's like.
Why not?
But aren't you worried? I would be if I had a wife as hot as yours. That you don't want to. You don't want that word to get out there, man. Because that's the one thing. If you go to like your Facebook page and everything like that, 90% of the messages of people who watch this show watch it because your wife is hot. No offense.
It's all good, man. I'm holding it down. I ain't got really nothing to worry about on that side.
I was going
to
say, Bean should be worried. You're Twitch.
That's so, right. He is Twitch.
You don't have to be.
So for folks who haven't seen it, tell people the breadth of the program. How much access do you give them? How much do you show them of your life when you're not racing?
We give them as much as we can. You know what I mean? There's certain shit that you can't really put on there, but that's just reality.
Certain stuff, I think you meant to say.
Yeah,
stuff. It slipped out.
Yep. That happens. But you can't put everything out there, right?
No, you can't do everything. So you know, we give them enough of what they need, you know?
What do you mean? I guess the press release for the program talks about how they're going to follow you and Susie's crazy, hectic lifestyle. Does your life seem crazy and hectic, Twitch?
To me, no, it doesn't. To the average person, yeah, because we usually travel a lot. Like, I just got my schedule for this year, and I have, like, something every single week and then until, like, December. So,
wow.
Last year, when we started filming the show, there wasn't really anything going on. It was, like, towards the end of our season, and the only thing they got was our truck race and, like, the two tour. So this year, it'll be more of, like, going to every single event with us, and it does get crazy. It is hectic. It ain't fun. I get tired of flying.
I was going to ask if you look forward to it or if, like, you look at that schedule and go, that is a lot of flying. I'm not looking forward to that part.
I look forward to it in the beginning, but then halfway through the season, I'm like, dude, I did not want to go get on another airplane or pack another bag. You live out of a suitcase like 9-10 months out of the year.
Wow.
How much are you able to have your kids travel with you, and how much is just time of daddy being away?
A lot. Usually my kids always travel with me. I actually got two kids. My oldest daughter's not really on the show right now just because her grades are bad, and I told her if she wants to be on, she needs to get a grade up.
Nice. How many parents have that bone to put in front of their kids?
No kidding. Hey, why don't you be on VH1 if you get your grades up?
All right.
So it's working. She's starting to bring him up, so we'll see how season two goes with her.
That's going
to
be awesome because she's going to be on one episode, and then she's going to be back off. We're going to go, oh, her grades dropped. That's
grades
not good.
Must have been bad.
So the X Life, Monday nights at 10 on VH1, it follows you. You've also got your vert skater buddy, Pierre, and you've got Corey from the world of BMX. Were you guys all friends, or were you put together just for this TV show?
Yeah, no, I've known Corey and PLG for 9-10 years now since we started riding contests together, like X Games and Do Tours and stuff like that. So it's been cool. Like, we've always hung out, just not as much as we do now, you know?
Right.
This is a clip from the show where you get a certain word removed from a tattoo from your body.
Getting rid of my militia tasks because I'm tired of all that bull, and it's time for me to just move forward with my life.
It's a big deal. No more Jeremy and militia.
Mm-mm.
I never thought it was a good idea that you had those tattoos, but I never thought that you'd be covering them up.
And I'm super excited for the next phase of my life. Going to have a lot of fun hanging out with Sav, hanging out with Suze. Our relationship's solid, man. I'm pumped. I got a good-ass chick. She got my back. I got her back. We're ride or dying to the end.
I got to tell you, at first, and I know the whole story with Metal Militia, but at first I thought she was talking about an ex. She said,
well, she kind of was talking about an ex.
No, but I mean an ex.
It kind of is an ex.
Ex-girlfriend, ex-wife.
I'm glad you addressed it a little bit on the TV show because, I mean, that really did rock a lot of people's world because they always figured you guys were, you know, you were so tight with them that you were going to stay with them forever. But you went in different directions, it looked like.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely like people get older, people grow apart, people become not friends. And I just figured it was the time for me to leave. Like, I didn't want to be the dude to leave to initiate it, but it was definitely time. So, yeah. That's an old chapter in my life. Now, I just did a deal with a famous, so I'm riding for famous now. So.
Oh, no kidding. Fantastic.
But it seemed like there were some issues that led to the split, but that there's also a lot of love still on both sides. I mean, I know their statement was, hey, Jeremy's always going to be part of the family.
Yeah, that's definitely an understatement. I'm definitely not a part of their family anymore.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
So okay. That was more damage control right there.
I gotcha. Well, it sounds like you're happy with the way it worked out. You made your choice, and you're happy with it. It sounds like everything's roses now.
Yeah, I'm pumped. Starting a new chapter in my life. Got a lot of stuff going on this year. I got a dirt bike event every month. I got a truck race every month. So I'm looking forward to this.
Well,
year.
What you're not putting into that equation is all the time you're going to have to spend defending your wife from Bean, because he's coming.
He's coming after her big.
You're in trouble.
The X Life airs Monday nights at 10. If you want to see the hectic, crazy lifestyle of Jeremy Twitch Stenberg and his beautiful wife and their beautiful kids, check it out on VH1. Twitch, always great to catch up with you on the Kevin Amici Show, man. Thanks a lot for jumping on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Bye.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Jeremy Twitch Stenberg joins us on the Kevin Amici Show right now. How are you, Twitch?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Well said,
I could ask that better. That's a pretty easy question to screw up.
That was A Moment with Bean.
he's the one with Tourette's, yet I can't say how you do it.
How twitch.
It's Kevin and Bean's show on a Monday. By the way, Ralph, before we get into your showbiz beat here, what did you think of not Gary Busey who called us last hour?
I'm telling you, I think it was.
Any thoughts on Larry Lucy who dialed us up on the phone?
You weren't here last week, Kevin, so you...
I heard this one on a lot.
You didn't hear this exhausted battle I had with Bean, whether that was Gary Busey or not.
But what do you think now that he's called back?
It's him!
It was Gary Busey.
Listen, he's got a cell phone number, right?
Right.
That matches the cell phone number the people at NBC, the publicity people, said he would be calling in on. They've compared those two phones. The only possibility is there's a Gary Busey impersonator calling from Gary Busey's actual cell phone. Yeah,
wouldn't that be awesome?
That's the only way this could be an impersonator. And Bean refuses to acknowledge it.
It seems unlikely, but I think you're like those people who want to believe in Jesus. I think you believe what you want to believe because it makes you feel warm and fuzzy.
No, I'm saying we checked, and that's Jesus' phone number.
Right? Okay.
Jesus is calling from the Christ household. We've got the number. It matches.
Well,
it's
Larry
science.
Lucy said he would call us again tomorrow,
it's
so
not
we'll have
Larry
a chance.
Larry Lucy.
We need to invite him to come down and hang out with us because in person, it'd be a lot harder to fake us out.
But
that's all I'm saying.
If he comes in studio,
it would be a lot harder, but still possible. Is that what you're saying?
If he comes in studio, you're going to have to give up it's not him.
If you go, oh, absolutely. Right. If I can see that it's Gary Busey, yeah, I'll believe it's Gary Busey. This guy, though, this clown, I think he's there's no way. There's just no way. All right, well, we'll revisit that tomorrow. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
You know, I like to give people the chance to be on television if they're so inclined. I like to announce auditions and reality shows. They're looking for contestants when the need arises. So I wanted to give this one a shout out. There is a production company for a highly acclaimed major cable network. They're not saying which one it is.
Okay.
Is casting married couples for a new show involving married couples looking for the third person to invite into their bedroom.
This will never get on the air.
Want to invite a young lady to join? Want to invite a young gentleman to come join the party in your bedroom?
It could get on the air on Showtime or HBO or any of those.
Married couples, they're looking for people who are looking for a third. Real-life married couples looking to take romance to the next level. This documentary show will showcase loving couples considering crossing the threshold, as they call it.
It always works, too, by the way.
Oh, it's never any downsides. I'll tell you that right now. If you're interested, you can shoot an email to Jen.
I'm ready to F up my marriage.
jendmcasting@gmail.com. So there you go. That's the address if you're looking to participate.
The ladies love it.
That's true. Saying what they will do is they will take you and they'll probably introduce you to someone and then sit back and film as the fireworks unfold. So I just wanted to give people a heads up.
Good times.
A lot going on. U2's Broadway musical Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark
finally opened.
It's not
been a long
has never
time
been stronger.
It's been canceled.
What?
April 19th through May 11th. The show is going dark, as they say, on the Great White Way, so they can, you know, change it completely. Bring in a new director with a new script and change the music and change the staging. But other than that, it's in good shape.
Wow, that seems bad.
This time, the opening of the show has been pushed back to June the 14th. So, don't give up hope yet.
Let me ask Lisa this question, since she's our Broadway broad.
Mm-hmm.
If you were in New York right now and you had the opportunity to go see Spider-Man on Broadway, would you do it?
I don't think I would.
Wait, someone
really?
Might, hold on.
Lisa's saying no to a Broadway musical.
Whoa. It's a lot of money.
Someone might die, though. Think about that.
Yeah, how many shows offer you that?
Really? Or it's just really boring. You've spent a crap load of money.
Could be, but there's the threat of death hanging
that
over your
is
head.
True.
Literally.
I know
over
you'd
head.
Go.
I'd go for that.
Kevin would go with a sniper rifle and a scope. He'd help things along, I'm guessing. Yeah, really. Tyra Banks wants you to call her just Tyra now. She wants to be known just by one name. Forget the Banks. Just Tyra. Are you two okay over there?
Yes.
Are you going to start wrestling in the nude or something?
Nope,
what's
good.
Going on with you two?
We're
a lot of
good.
Gesturing and pushing and shoving. Something's wrong over
I'm
that side of the room.
I'm going to kill
beer mug. That's all.
Look, Psycho Mike knew where everything was, but he's off being gay on Dancing with the Stars, so Beer Mug's trying to fill in, and it's a little bit more difficult for him to get the audio up that we're looking for. Yeah, that's all.
It's very distracting when they start looking like Marley Matlin over there. It's kind of confusing.
Beer Mug has a talent of taking what's ready to go and changing
and
it
shifting
into
that on you.
Something completely different.
Well, that's not annoying.
Yeah.
You watched The Celebrity Apprentice last night, right, Ralph?
I did, yes.
We didn't get a chance to bring this up with Mr. Trump a few minutes ago, but what about the part where Nene from The Real Housewives, where she was talking about how angry Marley Matlin was about one of her ideas not going in the children's book. She said, yeah, I thought she was going to take her earplugs out and throw down. Now, she understands that Marley Matlin isn't wearing earplugs. She's actually deaf, right?
Yeah, I think...
Was she being funny?
No, she wasn't.
All right.
I think Marley, though, has hearing aids, doesn't she? Doesn't she have some hearing?
I don't think so.
I thought maybe she was referring to...
might have one of those ocular implant.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she wears hearing aids or something, and that's what she thought were earplugs.
But earplugs. Why would she be wearing earplugs if she can't hear?
She's like slapping her hands together. Nene, what she's talking about, it's like, well, that's not official American Sign Language. I know that's what we're talking.
What a crazy cast.
They are a bunch of just goobers. Speaking of goobers, Charlie Sheen, once again, the big story today over the weekend. He sold out his 2-city mini tour of Chicago and Detroit. His live show, Charlie Sheen Live, My Violent Torpedo of Truth, will be happening on April the 2nd and 3rd, I believe, in the dates in Detroit and Chicago.
I got magic, and I got poetry at my fingertips.
Am I the only one that would like this show to go dark? Am I the only person
Charlie
that's
Sheen
tired?
Live, My Violent Torpedo of Truth?
I can't take another second of him talking.
I think there's an equal chance someone will die in this show as in the Spider-Man show, quite frankly. $1 of every ticket sold, according to Charlie, will go towards Red Cross to help the victims of the earthquake in Japan. So there you go. Some good will come out of it.
It would be epic.
Nope.
This weekend's hot movies at the box office, Battle Los Angeles was number one with $36 million in box office sales. Rango came in at number two, $23 million. Red Riding Hood was third with $14 million in its debut weekend. The Adjustment Bureau was fourth. Mars Needs Moms was fifth. Then Hall Pass, Beastly, Just Go With It, The King's Peach, and Romeo and Juliet rounding out your top 10. I'm going to take a look at celebrity birthdays right
now.
Well
said.
Thank you.
Did you guys talk about the Adjustment Bureau last week? Did anyone see it?
We did not, and no one did.
Dumb.
Because we heard how bad it was.
Yeah.
If you put on a hat, you have the powers of all the angels. So if you see an angel, you just have to knock off its hat. And you put on the hat, and then you have all of the angel's powers.
That's a great deal.
But
realistic.
They don't work in water. So if it's raining...
Wait a minute, Kevin. Are you sure you were watching the right movie?
It was well acted, well directed.
Right.
Whoever wrote it should be slapped in the face. It is a disaster of writing.
So it's all in the hat?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. You can go through a doorway if you're an angel and just show up wherever you want to show up.
Oh, that's because you're very
useful. Matt Damon, who's not an angel, takes a hat from an angel, starts going through doors, and it works.
Oh, that's awesome.
What's happening with that?
But not in the water.
Not in the water.
Okay.
No. The water makes it null and void.
What if you have a waterproof hat?
They don't address that.
They never address that. Maybe that's the sequel.
It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Back to you.
Fair enough.
All right.
Celebrity birthdays today. Michael Caine is 78 years old. Composer, conductor Quincy Jones, also 78. Billy Crystal, the comedian and host of the Oscar many times, 63 years old. Michael Bland of Soul Asylum is 42. Actress Grace Park. You know her from Hawaii Five-0 and Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, I do.
All right.
Take it easy.
37 years old. Chris Klein is 32. And Taylor Hanson of Hanson is 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We're going to tell you about Bean's very, very busy weekend.
Hey, daylight saving time weekend is like Christmas Eve for Santa Claus. I got to get pumped up for it all year long.
You're so dumb.
Brittany Snow is going to be on the program talking about
Maxim. Yeah, she's got a photo spread.
Yeah. Simon Pegg's going to be on the program tomorrow. Talking about DePaul, and we also have Travis Barker on the program tomorrow talking about his new CD, Give the Drummer Some.
It's a chock-full show.
How about that? That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.